I got one thing to say. First of all, I got a bunch of things to say. I got I want to say, Skullcandy, thanks for sending us these awesome headphones. But Skullcandy, why do you have a fucking button that shuts them off?
Because if I'm DJing,
this button is silly. That's a silly bitch of a button.
Well, it's just because that we constantly accidentally hit it, and we think something more like insane is broke, and so then we're like trying to fix something that doesn't.
Yeah, the podcast was delayed by a solid 20 seconds because I was scrambling to try to figure out how to fix that shit. Mm-hmm. Last night a DJ saved my life. Joey Coco Diaz will be joining me and our pal Douglas Stanhope, who will also be on the podcast this Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And Joey Coco Diaz will be joining me and Doug Stanhope and Honey Band Friday at the end of the world. Basically sold out. There's like single tickets left that are scattered around the room. People coming in from all over the world. We're very excited. And we're hoping that if we have a good show, the world won't actually end.
Yeah.
I think we can keep it together. I think we can keep this simulation together, Joe Diaz. What do you think?
I hope so, brother.
I hope so. I don't want it to end. It's too much fun.
Fuck no. But a lot of things have been happening, so, you know, a lot of weird shit happened this year, so maybe... something, but I don't think it's going to end. I think it's just changed how we're living.
There's something that we were talking about before the show where there's a page that shows all the various – I retweeted it. It shows all these school shootings and what drugs the young kids were on, whether it was 14-year-olds on Prozac, whether it's Paxil, Zoloft. I mean, it's incredible. If you look at the history of school shootings from, you know, I mean, it goes all the way back to 1992. Kids that were on drugs that were in the 1990s, they were putting people on different meds, and some of these kids wind up being school shooters. Does that mean the kid wasn't already fucked up and wasn't already really troubled to begin with, and maybe the fucking drugs kept him from doing something even more horrible earlier? I don't know. But you got to look at this. This thing is crazy. It's like 2008, school shooting, Paxil withdrawal, Prozac withdrawal, rather. 2008, Prozac and Paxil. Zoloft, Med for depression withdrawal. Antidepressant.
That's crazy.
Zoloft, antidepressant. And this is like each school shooting, each one of these kids is on one of these fucking things. SSRIs, meds for depression, antidepressant. I'm reading off like virtually every school shooting. I mean, this is a fucking crazy situation if every one of those shooters is on psych meds. Does that mean that the psych meds are causing it? No, that doesn't mean that. What it does mean is that you're dealing with some very fucked up people, which we know by the results. But that connection should at least be investigated.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to understand what the fuck is going on. Even if it's only a small percentage of the population who have these psychotic episodes, how many people have like very similar thoughts and don't act? How many people have like extreme feelings of detachment and don't report it? What
is that map show? The people that are not on anything also, like no prescription medicine?
No, this one is just all of the different school shootings that were connected to kids on drugs. Right. All right, let's Google that though. That's a really good point.
Yeah, because what if it was like, right, you know, 90% not on something?
Yeah, well, I don't think so, because there would have to be too many shootings. There's so many in the Prozac ones. It's like, come on, how many have there been? There's so many in the antidepressant ones. School shootings from kids not on antidepressants.
Joey, did you have a lot of people in your school growing up like that brought guns, or did you ever have any like that? Listen, didn't exist, right?
This is just something, you know. I was just thinking about Joe's age because I wanted to ask Joe a question. When you were in the 8th, 7th, and 6th grade, if a kid went to the meds office to take meds in the daytime, we all thought he was fucking crazy. We all thought he was crazy when I was a kid. I never heard of all these pills till lately. Me personally, when a parent tells me that their kid's on something, I want to smack the parent. But again, it's none of my business how you raise your child. I have my own problems. But you're giving these, like I told Joe, you're giving these kids pills, and it really is because you're not working on parenting. You're cutting yourself short. Whatever the fuck it is, your kid needs attention. Somebody told me that with children, you have to put the time in now, or if not, you have to put the time in later.
This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. Look, it's important to take care of yourself, and it's equally important that you use the right products, like Dr. Squatch. They have high-performing natural soaps and more with no harmful ingredients, so you can look and smell your best. Try their Pine Tar Bar Soap and Lotion, Bay Rum Deodorant, or Woodland Pine Cologne. Most of their scents are available across multiple products, so if you really like it, you can get a whole lineup. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/JRE or use the code JRE at checkout.
When he had his daughters, both his daughters, he was very involved. You know, we sit and talk like men on this podcast. After the situation on Friday, I read everybody. I didn't say anything on Twitter or Facebook. I'm not one of those people who's going to talk shit because I don't know what the fuck's going on. I wasn't
right
there. But I will tell you where I was. Between the ages of 7 and 10, my mother was married to a very violent man. Not towards me or my mother, but he was very violent. I.e., I seen him shoot somebody in the leg when I was 8. Shoot! Not hear about it, not because somebody told me. I seen him throw 2 wicked beatings on people, and I seen him stab a few people. His weapon of choice was having a knife. Do you know when I was 8, Joe, I had to live in a, my mother had the big house with the bedrooms, but she made my bedroom the attic, and I was very scared of sleeping up there. And I would throw a tantrum like any other child who's 8 or 7. You have children. We're scared. We heard the boogeyman. Do you know this guy used to give me a gun with a silencer?
When you were 8?
8. Give me a gun with a silencer and said, there ain't no spirits. If you see a spirit, you shoot him. And I put the thing down next to him and I'd go to bed. And he'd come up in the morning before my mother come up and he'd go, give me the gun back. And I'd give him the gun with the fucking silencer and he'd go downstairs. This is Juan Tuero now. I've been ashamed to tell this story, but I have to admit
why?
It.
Why?
You ever see me fucking, you ever see me with a weapon and knife? A gun is crazy. You, red man?
No.
Have I ever taken a
wait
weapon?
A minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, though. Wasn't there a Jay Moore situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't have a gun.
You told him you had a gun.
I had a gun 3 doors away as protection, but I didn't have it on me. But I still have that gun. But
was it? What happened in that? Like,
no, it doesn't matter what I'm talking
about. But it does
about.
Matter.
No. What I'm talking about here
it's a great
is
story.
You've never, ever seen me, you know, I never snapped. You know,
right.
Juan had a 007 knife, which your generation remembers.
I remember those.
It was
like
a
buck knife.
Like a buck knife with a fucking wooden handle, and
yep.
It actually said 007 on it.
Yeah, 007.
That was what he carried in his fucking painter's pants. In the 70s, when you wore painter's pants, didn't mean that you were a painter. It means you were packing fucking a knife that would stab your fucking throat off.
Well, if you're in Arizona and you see a gentleman with a fanny
right,
pack
with
on,
a fanny pack
there's
on.
A gun in that thing.
Oh, my God.
Likely.
But, you know,
especially if he's got, like, his shirt tucked into his pants.
I was raised around weapons from that age. I was raised around drugs. And at 15, whatever, I had a bad situation happen in my house. And I was still connected with weapons or whatever. You know what? It never gave me the urge to take a weapon and shoot somebody or whatever. As angry as I was at the world. But yeah. I guarantee if I had thrown some kind of drug on me at the age of 12 or 13, I would have possibly been able to do something like that. So there's different variables here, Joe. I was raised around weapons. So for them to say it's a weapons fault breaks my fucking heart. That's not fair. I was raised around weapons, and I'm unstable. We've all agreed on that situation in the fucking room.
Yeah.
So when I hear that shit, it breaks my heart.
So do you think that it's possible? Like, you've been in altered states of consciousness where you went on benders and you weren't in the right frame of mind. You know, could you imagine that some of these people could be on something that really sort of disconnects them with the normal everyday feelings that we all have? I mean, we don't understand what the real developmental effects of a lot of these things are. We have vague ideas of whether or not it's quote-unquote helping people. But there's not a lot known about the long-term effects of raising young people on these types of medications. There hasn't been hundreds of years of research done on it. You know, there hasn't been a lot of anecdotal evidence that's been studied and carefully reviewed. There's a lot of people pushing shit on kids just to calm them the fuck down. And they're not exactly sure what the repercussions are going to be when that guy turns 25.
At 18, we're not stable. We weren't stable, Joe.
I wasn't stable.
I know you weren't. I know I definitely was. I don't know about Red Man.
So I got super lucky, man. I could have gone down some really bad roads, but I found martial arts at a really early age. So by the time I was 15, I was completely obsessed with martial arts. That's all I did with my time. And I watched all these kids around me, like, thrashing around, trying to find their place in the world and not having anything that tests them or defines them. And I realized very early on that I was really lucky to find the martial arts. And even though martial arts consumed me to the point where I paid very little attention to schoolwork, I didn't give a fuck about schoolwork, dude. I didn't give a fuck. I had nightmares that I was going to fail and have to go back, because in my nightmares I was trying to figure out whether I'd go back at all, whether I'd just tell them to go fuck themselves. I thought about telling them to go fuck themselves when I was 16, because I heard that you can quit school when you're 16. I'm like, what am I getting out of this that I can't get out of books? This is not, like, I guess socially, am I getting something out of it? I was trying to analyze it myself, but I barely paid attention. All I gave a fuck was training. That's all I cared about.
I quit.
Did you quit? What year was it?
My senior year.
You just said, fuck it.
I had to quit. I needed to make a living. And then I ended up going back, like, in January, and I felt really bad about quitting.
Did you get a GED or a diploma?
There was two political genres in my hometown. So the one political genre was the one that pushed me. The other political genre wanted me to fuck out of there. So wow. By the time I got back in, the other political genre was in, and they said I missed graduating by a credit. I had no reason to walk down and get a graduate anyway, because I had no family there. Right. So I didn't give a fuck about a diploma or shaking somebody's hand. But it was important to me to get a diploma, and I was a credit short. And they tried to give me, like, a credit for football, but they said it wasn't counting. So I ended up having to go to summer school. I told them to suck my dick, and I got a GED in Colorado. And then went to fucking school anyway. You know, it didn't really matter. Right. I got accepted into a college anyway, so it really didn't fucking matter to me. It was,
if you can get into a community college and show good grades, and then you can get into a better college.
But at that age, I thought that quitting high school was the beginning of the end. At that age, I really thought I was going
to
end
I did,
up,
too.
No, I thought it was
Well, I went to college. The whole reason I went to college was so that people didn't think I was a loser. It's the whole reason. 100%. So that I could say I'm going to college. I had no business there. Because, again, it was like that was when I was 18 and all I was thinking about was competing. That's all I was doing. I was obsessed. I was not good at, like, doing a bunch of different things. You know, like, if I had a girlfriend, like, one of my problems was my first girlfriend in high school, when we first started banging, I cease and desisted all other activities.
We all do.
Everything. Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah, but nothing. I didn't do anything else. I was obsessed and hanging around with this girl.
What do you think I got left back in the seventh grade for? Because I'm that stupid? No, the fucking monkey drove me fucking nuts.
The monkey.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. So what happened? Did you quit everything? Karate?
I quit Taekwondo everything. For months. Yeah. For months I didn't train. And then I finally, I don't know whether I got tired of fucking her or, you know, I just came to my senses. I got back there and started training again. And then I became obsessed with that again and not as much her.
Was that your first love, that same broad? Or?
Yeah, definitely.
That was my first love, too, the one that fucked me up completely.
Well, I had two at the same time during that period of time. Sort of an on and off situation. When one of them wouldn't work out, then the other one would somehow or another magically, like, wind up being single at the same time. Like, for a couple of years, went back and forth. But one was, like, I was way closer to one than the other. One was actually really cool. She was pretty smart, interesting chick from she had a single mom. She had, like, she was interesting. She was smart, you know? And she was, she went on to be, she worked for the government or some shit like that. She did some computer work for the government. Forget, we were like in our early 20s, and she was explaining to me what she does. It's very, very, you know, very interesting to, like, be in touch with someone from the time you knew them when you were 14. You just fingering each other and jerking each other off to, like, all of a sudden she, like, works for the government, you know, a grown-up human being. It's like, all right, I guess we're real live adults now.
Look, the one I was in love with, I used to go roller skating with her and shit on the weekends, and we were holding hands. And she wouldn't give me the pussy. She just let me dry hump her to death. Right.
That's
funny. I would dry hump her to Earth, Wind, and Fire every fucking afternoon. But she was in love with Donny Osmond. But Donny Osmond had a show with Marita on Friday nights. I was going to fuck Donny Osmond up. So that was my competition. Then when she realized she couldn't have Donny Osmond, she let me give her a little tap, and it set me off, dog.
It's amazing that I never got this girl pregnant.
Set me off, yeah.
We didn't use any birth control. You know?
Fuck,
we were just pulling out. I was like, you know, 15 or 16 or something like that, and we fucked all day. We fucked every day. Oh. If there was some ovulation, we were fucking while she was ovulating.
What do you think that is? Because there's a lot of times luck. Where it's like that, where it's like
luck. You got lucky. You got lucky.
You eat pussy and ass and everything at that age, Joe Rogan? Or you eat pussy like...
Hell yeah.
Savagely?
Not ass. No, I wasn't eating ass.
Yeah, I started back
then. First of all, back then it wasn't the same.
No, you
because
couldn't.
Ass was like hairy. There was like, you know, you went to, if you went down on a girl, like there's fucking hair everywhere. No, nobody did anything about it. Yeah. They didn't trim it. They just let it go. It was
California
bananas.
Ass was different, also.
Dude, I dated a girl when I was in my really early 20s, and I took her pants off, and I was just shocked. I was flabbergasted. I was like, how could you just leave it like that? Like, it was she was Italian, and it was ridiculous. Oh. It was asshole to pussy all the way up to the size of the thighs. It was just chaos. It was unbelievable chaos.
In between that pussy and that asshole, it's a little wang. It smells like a garlic hot dog or some shit.
And why is that repulsive?
I love it. I love it.
But what is it about, like, asshole hair and all that stuff that's gross? What is it about that? But it is.
Girls shave their legs, you know, so you're used to girls not having hair at all.
I've never thought it was disgusting when you're eating that pussy and it's swampy and there's hair and shit all over your fucking face, I'm telling you.
Someone said that women started shaving their legs during World War II because that's when they were running out of pantyhose. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, kind of.
That doesn't make any sense to me. When did women start shaving their legs? As soon as they realized that men would fuck them harder if they didn't have hair on their legs. Right?
Yeah. Guess. Yeah, I don't mind a little, you know, ripe pussy, but the worst is, like, there's so many things going on, like, you know, yeast infections and things like that.
What kind of girls are you dating, son? You know where yeast infections come from? And one of the big reasons?
From ass to vagina?
There's a little of that, and there's all that's actually even more dangerous because that's like E. coli.
Yeah.
You can have like real problems. Like you can die. You can have like septic pussy and rot out from the inside. What I was gonna say is it's from other dudes shooting loads into the same hole.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. It's nature letting you know she's a skank.
Wow.
It does happen with some girls for whatever reason. It's like a warning sign that you know those loads are battling to the death in there. And as they're battling to the death in there, she gets like some sort of a weird sort of a bacterial
You know, men
infection.
men can get yeast infections also, I found out.
Yeah.
And I found like, because I was Googling it to see if I had one once. And then it's like, oh, you could just use Dr. Scholl's, you know, if you're a guy. So like if you could use like foot spray on it to kill it if you're a guy. But don't do it if you're a girl because you have to spray it inside
you. Let me tell you something, guys. I have fucked women from every aspect of life. What I'm saying is like bars. Coke fucking haunts.
Coke haunts.
You know, airplanes. You know, we've gotten our dick sucked as comedians after clubs and fucked them with no condoms. I'll tell you what, I've never gotten a disease. You know who I got diseases from? College girls. Those are the filthiest little motherfuckers out there.
Yeah.
Those little keg-going, dirty fucks that get fucked and they don't remember all that shit. Them filthy fucks. Those are the filthy motherfuckers. I got that chlamydia shit where you had that yogurt coming out of your
throat.
And then I gave it to the chick. I had not now. I mean, I'm fucking 50. I had it when I was 28. I caught it from a waitress at the Broker, Joker, where I was a comic there. I was the house MC on Tuesdays.
Where is it?
And then Boulder. That's why I started comedy.
It's called The Broker?
The Broker Inn. All right. Broker. They used to have the Broker Joker. And on Wednesday nights, it was Tuesday nights was sponsored by, what was the other beer in the 90s beside Heineken? That
Coors?
Was Germany. No, no.
Oh,
from Germany.
Bex?
Bex. It was Bex Comedy Night. So the Bex would give me a deuce.
Bex fell off.
Bex, yeah, they were done.
What happened with Bex?
Fuck, they made me the house MC. Fuck those cocksuckers, right? And I banged her in the fucking, and I banged her first for like a year. I was in love with this college chick. I kept getting itches. This chick had more fucking diseases. One day I go to eat that little monkey, and you can see like where the chlamydia leaked out of her monkey, and it dried and whatever. It was like paint after you paint it, and the fucking monkey just dries on the wall and shit like that. I looked at that, and I didn't go to the doctor either. That time I got chlamydia, I didn't know until years later. I asked somebody what happened to, like, chlamydia. Because nobody died. You know what I'm saying? I didn't go to the doctor in those days. I was 28.
Yeah.
I was too busy slinging dick.
What do they do for you? They give you a shot? Does your body fight it off if you don't
for
get
chlamydia?
Shot? Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's something you have to go to the doctor.
I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't find out till years later when I was embarrassed and I asked somebody coked up. I said, listen. When you get that little white yogurt that comes out of your pussy, it just dries mid-level. What is that? And they're like, it's chlamydia or some shit
wow.
like that.
See, I thought the word, because I had the word clit in it, you couldn't get it. Like,
No, you're a filthy fuck. And then she used to have a Korean roommate that gave me something, too.
That's Ohio suburbs, 14-year-old
like,
science.
It's like penis dribbles or something like that. You can't, like, if you have a vagina, you couldn't get
that.
Oh,
I get it.
You know what I mean? Like,
chlamydia, because it has clitoris in it.
Yeah.
The Korean roommate, that when she went to New York, gave me something, too. But that was the venereal disease. That was like a rash where I just scratched my fucking skin off my nutsack.
And what'd you do about that?
At that time, I had to go to the pharmacy, and he goes, dog, you need help.
So you went to a pharmacy and pulled your dick out?
No, I showed him my nutsack. I was friends with the fucking guy. You know what I'm saying? You know,
my CVS is completely different than yours.
What neighborhood was this in?
This is in Boulder. This is in North Boulder, by the hospital.
So you go, hey, listen,
I
dog. Just,
no, I knew, you I knew the dude. I knew
but take
dude.
A look at my nuts.
I knew the dude. I knew he snorted blow, so I would bring him a rock from time to time. And he'd give me, like, free medical advice.
Okay.
So fuck it. That was it.
So you showed him your balls.
And he said, you got to go to the doctor and get, like, a cream. So I went to the doctor in Boulder, and I told him the truth, and I got it from, and they gave
what did he say it was?
Some skin disease, something in, like, the ringworm cousin.
Whoa, you got pussy ringworm?
Yeah, but I had ringworm when I was a kid from playing in the weeds in Jersey, too.
What a dirty bitch. Yeah, she gave you pussy ringworm?
Yeah.
That's unprecedented.
That's unprecedented.
That's a dark, dark girl.
You
got,
like, this fucking itch in your nutsack that won't go the fuck away. You ripped that motherfucker apart, Doug.
Yeah, I know a lot about ringworm because of jiu-jitsu. If you're getting ringworm, here's one thing you don't want to do. Don't use antibacterial soap. You got to be real careful about that shit. When you use antibacterial soap, it's okay if you're going to, like, do operations on people and shit, but the issue with antibacterial soap is it kills all the good bacteria in your body, too. So you suppose, there's a company called Defense Soap, and they make this soap that has all natural oils, like tea tree oil, eucalyptus oil, all, like, natural oils that keep the bad shit from growing but help the healthy shit. It's all, like, it promotes good flora, good skin flora. But that's where
it's like cacapuncha for your fucking skin.
Cacapuncha?
The juice cacapuncha. You fucking drink. The cacapuncha.
Kombucha.
Kombucha.
Kombucha, yeah.
Kombucha.
It puts everything back in. The probiotics back in.
Yeah, that's a probiotic. For Acidophilus, that's another probiotic. There's a, you can actually, like, sauerkraut. You can get, like, certain types of sauerkraut. Like, for vegans, for people who don't want to eat animal products, they can get probiotics that way. But, you know, they're just, it's like what size animal you're not allowed to eat. Because at a certain point in time, you're eating some fucking living fungus. You're eating some little microbes there that are running around. I guess they can't cry. Since they can't cry, you're allowed to eat them. Like, are you allowed to eat ants if you're a vegan? Can you have, like, chocolate-covered ants? Probably not.
Probably not.
Living thing. Ants, no. Microbes, yes. You're allowed to eat the microbes. You're going to eat living things. If you're gonna have probiotics, you got to eat something that's alive. It just can't complain, so you just fucking eat it.
Do you know they sell bugs now at Abercrombie? Or no, Urban Outfitters, you know, bugs. The clothing store. They have, like, chocolate-covered bugs that you can buy. Like, what, you know how you're waiting to check out and they have, like, all that shit that they want you to buy at the last second, you know?
So that's because they figure they've made you retarded from that spray that they're spraying in that place to keep it stinky.
Oh, no, you're thinking Abercrombie. No, no, Urban Outfitters. Yeah, Urban Outfitters is different. Like, Abercrombie is the one where the music's super loud and it has, well, like, the stupid cologne smell everywhere.
Shaved gay guys all over the wall.
Yeah.
They're, like, hugging girls and they all have perfect hair, and it smells so bad.
Yeah.
Like, that place is ridiculous. You ever go to Abercrombie and Fitch? Anybody ever rope you in? So that's what happens when you have daughters. Someone needs to go into Abercrombie, and it's like going into the skunk house. That's what it's like. It's like, you know, all right, someone's got to clean up the skunk shit. I'll do it. All right, I'll do it. Like, you're going into an area where you know you can only last a certain amount of time. Okay, if you go into the Gap or whatever, you go in to buy a pair of Levi's, you can sit down in that store for an hour and read a book if you had to. But you go into that Abercrombie and Fitch, that motherfucker is toxic gas. It's all stinky smells, and it's a stinky smell.
Like,
it's not
what?
A good,
like,
smell.
Are you serious?
It's
like,
terrible.
It's like a Glendale 24-hour fitness locker room.
Is that how they do it? Is that how they fucking do it? Is that how they want to do it? Is that their marketing?
Yeah, they do it on purpose. I asked this girl who was working there. I go, why do you keep spraying that stuff? She goes, they make us. They make us every, like, on the hour. You have to walk around and spray this shit.
Yeah.
Whoever owns that store is a moron.
The advantages of being 2X.
You don't have to go to those places.
No. They don't have my size in any of those fucking places.
So where do you go? Do you
I
go
have
to, like,
pants,
special
but
stores?
I can't fit shirts.
You go to special stores?
You know what? You know what, bro? You cannot. You don't know what you're buying anymore until you buy. You like something, you buy, you try it on. Sometimes I get a pair of pants and they're 42, mm-hmm. and they fucking fit. And sometimes 42 don't go around my leg. It depends whether it's a European cut or it's an American cut.
Yeah.
And I bought clothes when I go to Tennessee. Everything fucking fits. In Tennessee, they make the clothes smaller. So do you follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In Tennessee, I fit in a 1X.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Because there's a lot of big people in Tennessee.
We
need to make double X a little bit bigger.
So when you go
double X.
What's the outlets? Not like Macy's. Okay, when you go to Macy's here and you see a 2X, you'll put it on and you're like, ah, it's breathing. I go to Houston and get that same 2X. It's a fucking 3X.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's very weird. That's the marketing across the country. Thing.
Houston has the biggest people, doesn't it? Isn't that supposed
Houston
to be?
Houston was the fattest. It's between Houston and Dallas. But listen, how can you fucking be skinny in a town where the breakfast is those fucking hot dogs and a bun? You can't lose. Because I could, listen, as a stoner, I don't give a fuck what type of fitness you're in. You got to stop over there once a week.
I'll tell you what, when you go to Texas and you fucking sit down and they serve you a 24-ounce steak and you're like, God damn it, fuck it, I'm in Texas. Let's just do this. It seems like what you're supposed to be doing there. When you're looking over at the dude next to you with his giant belt buckle and a cowboy hat, he gives you the nod as he's cutting into the meat.
Do you know what was the deadliest place we ever went to as a restaurant? Brian, remember when we went to Houston and after that night we all went to that fucking place and with the old guy and we sat in the table like this and they brought us Greek food?
Oh, yeah, and they brought us
the Greek pizza. The place is great. Let's get it out of the fucking way.
BB's?
Was that the name of it?
No. It's a Greek place. It's in fact, I just got an invite to his birthday.
What was the name of the place?
Fuck, remember the kid was a
comic? Yeah, he used to come by the laugh.
Beavers? Beavers.
BB's. I think BB's a girl's clothing store.
Oh, yeah, BB. But the fucking guy in the daytime used to insult people. They had a waiter that used to insult people. He was Greek.
Oh, really?
And he would give you the fucking thing, and he'd come up to you like 5 minutes later. What do you want for breakfast? I don't know you. These, that. Make up your mind. He would fucking yell at people. The people liked it.
They actually had old school waitresses there too, right?
Old school. They were 100 a piece. Like if you were younger than 80, do not apply, dog. They would make them up. No plastic surgery like that hag we see in the baseball commercial. Yeah. Like that. These were women that were 80, dog. And the best about Greeks is they're like Jews, but even better. They don't accuse nobody of stealing or nothing, but Why doubt it? Let's just put my mother behind the register.
Right.
They always have the cook's mother behind. Why take the chance?
Right.
And that bitch will not go home. Am I lying, though? You go out to pool. You go before pool at 7, she's there. And after pool, she's still there. She's sleeping.
Right.
Against the thing. You got to ring the bell. And she go,
Little reading glasses.
Yeah, little reading glasses on. Them bitches will put their Greek mothers there. Those motherfuckers are there 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, that was that place. That place was very much like that.
That place flooded, I think.
Did it really?
It flooded, but yeah.
Closed down.
He had a couple of those places. He had like two or three of those fucking restaurants.
Well, that one crazy flood, there was one of the girls who was a waitress at the Laugh Stop sent me a photo of where that old hotel where we used to stay at used to be.
Yeah.
What was that parkway? The Allen Parkway?
Allen Park Inn.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the Allen Park Inn.
The Allen Park Inn, it was so flooded. It was like the entire like highway was an ocean. It was like a big river. It was crazy. Like, I don't know how it happened, how it got so flooded. I don't know what the fuck happens that a city can get that flooded. But that place was gone. That place was a staple for, like, stand-up comics and crazy stories on the road. I had this crackhead dude just insisting that I knew where Eddie was. This is, like, pre-Eddie Bravo, you know? Like, I was there, and I'm walking around, and the guy goes, "Come on, man, you know where Eddie is? Where's Eddie?" And I was like, "Dude, I do not know Eddie. Come on, man. Where Eddie at, man? Come on, where, man? Where? Come on, man." Like, crazy and shaking and shit. And just, this dude had to find this guy. And they was just walking around knocking on doors, like, trying to find the guy who sells the crack.
That was the only hotel that you go back to. You go back to your hotel room, piss, comb your hair a little bit, get a beer, and just sit in front of your hotel room at 2 in the morning. Within 15 minutes, somebody will walk by.
Yeah,
you drinking a beer? Come on over to my room, mixing it like ripping out heroin and syringes.
I'll tell you what, though. Here's another thing about that place. If you went down to the Allen Park Inn and a girl was willing to go back there with you.
Yeah, she's sucking your dick. It's over.
She's not going to play games. Okay, you're taking her to one of the dingiest, creepiest spots on earth. She's DTF, all right? she's like looking for a spot just as much as you are. You take this guy. Come on, man. Where's Eddie at, man? Like, don't worry about him. This door is an inch thick of solid cardboard. There's no way he's going to get to us while we're naked.
I was just thinking about that meal the other night, how big that meal was that night in Houston, and how we were done at one point. Like, we were like, we're done. Like, we had eight people at the table. Mm-hmm. Your friends were there from Dallas. Mm-hmm. What's his name? The nice kid, the
Horse
young kid.
Flash Wick.
Yeah. And they were all there. And we were ready to go.
That was the first Rogan Board circle jerk.
Yeah. And they all put, they came out and put those cheese, those Greek pizzas down.
And what's that flaming cheese?
Yes.
Like, flaming cheese.
Yes.
What's it called? Spagaskutos.
With the malatas juice.
Yeah, they had those Dolomites. It's not Dolomites. That's the fucking, that's the pimp. Dolomites the pimp. What are those things? The leaves, the grape leaves.
Oh, yeah,
stuffed
yeah, that's
grape
right.
leaves.
That's
oh, it was the best those after are the comedy food ever.
Oh, those are fucking fucking
I mean, when are you ever more hungry, though, than after two shows? When we do two shows on a Friday or Saturday night, we eat, like, unbelievable amounts of
and
food.
And if you don't eat, you go back to your room and you eat your fucking stomach. It's horrible how fucking hungry you are. Yeah. Like, at three, and you got to get something, like a even like a protein, something yeah. anything will work, and you go to fucking sleep.
What wears you out more than doing two shows? Is anything wearing you out? Like, when you have to do two headliner shows? Have you been doing that lately?
Yeah, they mentally wear the fuck out.
Yeah,
it's
right?
It's a lot of talking.
What are you doing, an hour? 50, you doing an hour each show?
50. But 50? You know, even when you do sets around town, if you do like three sets in one night, it's 15 fucking minutes a set.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
But a third set, you're like, it's amazing how sometimes a set flies by,
uh-huh.
and sometimes a set takes a long time, but it really does fly by. But like, it's just amazing comedy, the whole mechanics of it is getting weirder and weirder, but I love it more now than ever. You know?
Don't you feel like the more you do it, the better it gets, but the more out of your hands it is? It's like, oh, this fucking crazy thing's got a life of its own. Just keep doing it. Keep getting up there.
You're right. You're talking. There's so much shit going on that I don't know. Comedy's a lot of fun lately. I've been having a lot of fucking fun with it. Late shows.
It's the best job ever, man. It's the best job ever. For us, it's the best job ever.
You know, I even miss getting, like, on planes. The last 3 weeks I've been home, I miss getting on fucking planes. Like, I actually miss getting on
fuck?
A... Even a little flight from Burbank to San Jose. You know what I'm saying? Like, on a Thursday night. Like, I was pulling those Thursday nights. I love that shit, guys.
There's an adventure to our job that is one of the things that's real exciting about it. Like, our last trip to Austin. There's a lot of adventure to our job.
There always is.
Yeah. An adventure for me tomorrow night doing my first black room. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
What's a tip, Joey?
Here's a tip. Be able to run as soon as you get off stage. That's important. Have a nice exit strategy. And start off strong.
Start off strong.
You have to start off strong. But you also have to be relaxed. If you stutter, they will attack.
Yeah.
They will go after you.
Silly and goofy. They like that, don't they?
They'll like that, but you also have to be smooth with your words. You have to be well prepared. They appreciate,
when in Rome.
They appreciate, like, for real, black crowds are more likely to appreciate good showmanship.
Oh, really?
And good someone who's a really good entertainer, but they're also more critical. So they will come down on you if you start stuttering. If you start stuttering, white people give you a chance to recover.
Right.
Black people, not so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, not that they're
not here to listen to your bullshit. I pay, motherfucker. I pay to see you.
You get some profit, too.
You know, I started in a black room, but the biggest bombing that I never got back on a black stage was in a black room. Not to interrupt you or to get this off the subject, but we're talking about black people, famous black people and drugs. I guarantee you, I will bet each of you $100 and I'm no genius because I don't know much about the pill world. But I guarantee you, Cat Williams' problem all started with Adderall.
You think so?
Because after you don't do Adderall, I was watching something.
Why did you say Adderall?
Because I was watching something on Discovery where a guy went from Adderall to speed, to meth.
Mm-hmm.
Because he felt that, wait a second, if I'm doing this, what will speed do? He was like an accountant. He was like a fucking, you know, I've never fucked with Adderalls. I just hear what people are saying, that you can write better, you write a ton better, you do all this shit better. So, dog, I've already been around the block with things that make things better. So I don't need to, you know what I'm saying?
Adderall reminded me of cocaine immediately.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I felt like I had drips in my mouth.
I could see a person doing Adderall and doing two bumps and just losing it.
I have a friend, and I believe he's on the Adderall. And he's been acting very erratic lately. More and more, like, over the last, like, 6-7 months. I don't see him that often. I see him, you know, every few months or so. He's starting to get a little bonkers.
You're talking about our one friend?
I'm talking about a friend. I'll tell you who it is when the show's over and we stop recording. We go outside and stand behind a car.
Because our one friend's off it.
I talked to him the other day. I don't know which friend you're talking about.
This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. Look, it's important to take care of yourself, and it's equally important that you use the right products like Dr. Squatch. They have high-performing natural soaps and more with no harmful ingredients, so you can look and smell your best. Try their Pine Tar Bar Soap and Lotion, Bay Rum Deodorant, or Woodland Pine Cologne. Most of their scents are available across multiple products, so if you really like it, you can get a whole lineup. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/JRE or use the code JRE at checkout.
Up north, we just saw him in...
No, that guy, you're right. Yeah, that guy is off it. Yeah. That guy's a way smarter dude than the dude I'm talking about.
Okay.
The dude I'm talking about is much dumber, and he's got a fucking problem.
Wow. So the... I guarantee that it has something. It's in the mix.
But why do you think that Kat is doing Adderall in the first place? Because what makes you think he's doing Adderall?
Maybe it's not Adderall, but it's something.
I think it's cocaine and mental.
But it's something he's mixing with that gentleman. It's something that started with the
night with it.
Dog, let me get this going, and now he's smoking crack with it.
Right.
You know, I tell you guys, once you start doing it, and if you listen to the stories, these people start doing it with everything else. It don't matter. You know, the chick in Florida that was drinking and doing the fucking pills, maybe, and shooting pool and talking loud that day.
Maybe he's just trying to come up with a new hour. Dude is just going to go off.
No, I seen the tape.
He's got a whole new hour.
I seen the tape from Oakland. I seen the one when he came out with the bunny rabbit ears on his head and just shook his head for 35 fucking minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
And I love Cat Williams, but I'm telling you guys that these pills and this over-the-counter shit, or not over-the-counter, this, what do you call it, pharmaceutical, these Oxycontins and all this shit.
Opiates, yeah.
It's just killing motherfuckers. This Adderall, all this shit. Just smoke fucking joints. That whatever happened to just smoking a fucking pipe.
I don't understand why no one's beat him back though. Like how many people has he hit, but you don't hear like them beating his ass. He's not a big guy.
Have you seen what happens when he hits people? Like nothing.
Right.
He's like getting swatted by a 4-year-old. Like he punched the Walmart guy in the face. The guy didn't even flinch. Guy didn't go down. The guy didn't put his hands up.
The target guy, whatever it was.
He punched that guy in the face. It was like nothing. The guy was like, that was nothing. Like, you didn't do anything to me.
Well, that dude was obviously just scared of black people, I think.
Was he by himself?
Yeah, because I was like,
was
young
he by himself
from,
at Target?
Sacramento. What?
Was he by himself at
Target? Yeah, he was by himself.
Yes. Okay, so this
did you see
happened.
The video?
I see the video.
So pull the video up.
Well, no, I saw it. What time is this? What time did it happen in the afternoon?
That's a good question.
I guarantee this motherfucker didn't sleep
just
the night
cranking
before.
It all day.
I guarantee he didn't sleep.
And
the
do you think
before.
That's what gives him, that's why he's so, like short tempered? Brian, are you running snowflakes in the background, you motherfucker?
Fuck yeah.
Why didn't you tell me?
You know, when you don't sleep, hey, dog, when you don't fucking sleep, you don't sleep for 2 nights and see how agitated you motherfucker.
Oh, I've been there, man.
What the fuck you talking to me like that for? You know, you get fucking agitated. It's confusing. There's a word for that. You become something.
Delirious.
Delirious. So I watched that Target one, and that's what I'm thinking about. He's up the night before. You know how many times... I did coke all night, and by 11 o'clock, I was paranoid all night.
Here
he's just talking to this fucking guy.
The guy's got his left hand up. Boom. Oh, just stole on him.
Yeah, he just kind of looks at his phone. And
He stole on him, and then he backed up.
You know how many times by 11 o'clock in the morning, in my mind, I was fine. I'm fine.
Right.
They can't tell I was doing blow all night. I'll take a shower and put gel in my hair. And I'll go out there. They can't tell. But in your mind, as you're walking, you're having your own fucking conversation in your mind. What's coming out of your fucking head is amazing. This guy doesn't know. He can't tell. That's why he walks into those places banged up like that from like fucking before. That's a horrible situation, man.
So do you think that's coke? What is that?
I don't know. They're saying it's crack. I don't fucking know.
Could be that, right?
It could be that, but you got to stop and smoke that every 20 minutes.
Every 20 minutes?
Sure. You got a pipe on you. You got to have a little torch on you. You know, you got to have shit on you. So I don't know what the fuck it is these people are talking about. When you smoke crack, you got to smoke every 20 minutes.
Who was that really hot chick from Baywatch way back in the day She had dark hair, and she got arrested.
Well, with the crack pipe in Michigan. Yeah, she was fucking around with Don Johnson.
And
wasn't she
looked like hell. And she was so pretty.
What she was in basketball with me, I think. She was in basketball.
What the hell was that problem?
I forget what her fucking name was.
Yasmin Bleeth.
She was so pretty. And then all of a sudden there was this picture of her. She was like the first like really famous chick to just absolutely fall apart in a drug photo. I mean, look at that. That's insane. That bitch had been up for a year. Look at her. She was, at one point in time, like she was stupid hot.
Yeah, I wonder what she looks like now.
Oh, poor kid.
I thought I saw on a show like playing an attorney, but I don't think it was her.
Yeah, I'm sure she's got.
That's what I'm thinking. If you smoke crack, but after you smoke crack for 10 hours, you just go into a zone too. Mm-hmm. That you don't need it anymore. You're like, fuck it.
Really?
I don't need this shit for another hour. You know, I'm going to take a walk. You know, I don't fucking know, Joe, but you know what, man? When you're 12, you're not ready as a young man. Even with these kids, you're not ready at 18. How are you going to give somebody fucking all these pills at 12 years old? Because they have ADD. I had ADD at 12. So did fucking you. So did Red Band.
Yeah, that's what makes for interesting people.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
you need ADD to be interesting.
Your parents came to you and said, you need to study harder. You know what? From now on at 3, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to take you to the library. I'm going to read for an hour. You're going to study. Now they just give you Adderall or whatever the fuck they give you for your ADD. Now they just replace their fucking attention with a fucking pill. Mm. You know, there's so many things. Parenting is very hard. And there's so many things that you think replaces parenting, but it really doesn't, bro. There's nothing like your kid coming home at 3 and you being there. You know that. How many times you come home at 3 and there was nobody fucking there? Me too.
My whole life.
Yeah. Me too. You know, it's to come home at 3 and there's a $10 bill and a thing and a steak. Yeah. You cook it or take the 10, go eat, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, and our generation, you could walk around. The neighbor's mother was there if you cut yourself.
Yeah.
Today, these fucking kids, I mean, what do you do, man?
Yeah.
You know, it's different times.
Well, it's also some people just get a bad roll of the dice. We were talking about this yesterday, that you could get a real bad roll of the dice and be in a terrible family. You just, unfortunately, your mother's a junkie, your father's a murderer.
It's a fucking nightmare.
Ta-da.
It's a fucking nightmare.
What can you do?
But you know what, man? I've seen a lot of those kids, they learn from that.
Yeah.
They don't put the blame on it, 50%, 40% maybe. How many times have you seen an attorney and you've talked to him and he's an attorney because his mother stabbed the father or something? He had a motivation behind it. So I just always thought I grew up with a lot of psychological problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I didn't want to go shoot none of my fucking classmates. Or
right.
I didn't want to go do a lot of fun. I wanted to shoot my stepfather. That was it.
Yeah, well, you know, Joey, I don't know what the fuck that kid's life was like. It would be really important for us, I think, as a society, to try to figure out what it took to turn a person into a school shooter.
Not two handguns and a rifle.
I don't even want to know.
I don't know. I'm asking you guys. A lot of guns.
There was more than one gun.
Really?
Yeah. And if you stop and think about the Columbine shootings, I mean, we know those kids were bullied. You know, those kids were tortured. That's an important point, too, because I think it's some people do not really understand how important it is that their kids don't bully people. And they don't understand how devastating that could be on a young kid's psyche, especially if the kid's coming from an unstable house as it is. And then you're coming from a house where everything's in turmoil and people yelling at you and you're going to school and people are pushing you around and hitting you. It's like your life is hell. Like, that is why people will commit suicide. You are creating their life can be a hell. Or it could be just the opposite. You could go to school, and that same kid says, "What's up, dude? What are you doing?" He gives you a big hug. Now you're happy. Something is creating that bully, and it's not just human nature. There's some shit that's going on in that kid's life that he's trying to express, and he's trying to express on other people. I saw, when I was a kid, a lot of people that would go around and beat people up. And to a man, every one of them got beat up at home. Every one of them. I had a friend, my friend Kenny, he used to love to get in fights. Kenny would just walk up to someone and start a fight. Like, come on, bitch, let's go. And the guy would be like, what? He'd be like, put up your fucking hands, we're going right now. The guy would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he would just start swinging. He was crazy. You know why? Because he got the fuck beat out of him as a kid. I didn't have that. I did not get beat up as a kid. And I'm very fortunate for that. So, like, when I see kids that lash out like that are kids that want to beat people up. Kids that have they have a different sort of an anger inside of them. They have a really irrational, self-destructive sort of violence-inducing anger. A lot of that comes from being physically abused. Like, it changes the wiring of a child's brain. It changes the way a child associates with the people that are the most loving and protecting of him.
Your mother never
parents.
Pulled your hand?
Nope. Nope.
Never gave you a smack?
No. Look, my dad was a piece of shit, but one thing my dad was, he was fiercely protective of me. Fiercely. Like, my cousin did something to me when I was a little kid. My dad picked my cousin up by his hair. I'll never forget it. My cousin was like 12 or 13, and I was probably like 5. He picked him up by his hair and beat the shit out of him. But picked him in the air by his... I'll never forget the screaming that kid was making while he was getting lifted into the air by his hair. So I saw a lot of violence, but it didn't get turned on me yet. You know, my parents got divorced when I was 5. So I never... I didn't... You know, when they split up... I saw him be violent with my mother. I saw him be violent with a lot of other people. I saw him be violent with my cousin, like when I told you he pulled his hair. But he never did anything to me. So I missed that part. I didn't get beat up. So because I didn't get beat up, my mom was a very, very sweet person. She was never violent in any way, shape, or form. She never even yelled. She barely raised her voice. My mother was a very, very kind person and still is. So I missed that part. But I got to see its work in a lot of friends. You know, you get to know when. That's one of the things that's really weird about growing up, is you're growing up and you realize how many people come from fucked up families. How many people's families are fucked up? And it's like almost everybody I knew had something going on. Either the dad was an alcoholic and they were trying to figure out how to not get him to drive, or the mother fucking has a gambling problem and disappears at night and doesn't come home until the morning, or there was always fucking something. There's always something. It's amazing our society works as well as it does. It's amazing we're as together as we really are. If you really stop and think about what a shit job people did in raising human beings.
Did you see that news thing with Cat Williams in it talking about how he's like quitting stand-up comedy and he's like crying and stuff? It was like a news report.
Really?
Yeah, check this out.
He talked about quitting stand-up comedy and crying. This is after all this shit?
Yeah, this is December 4th, I think.
New tonight, stand-up comic Cat Williams has had a controversial visit to Seattle the past few days, and tonight he's telling us his side of the story. Como 4 caught up with Williams as he was ejected from a South Lake Union hotel around 7 p.m. On Sunday, Williams was arrested after an altercation at a nearby restaurant. Police say he argued with customers and threatened the manager with a pool cue. Williams is accused of then throwing a lit cigarette into a family's car, which hit a woman in the face, throwing a rock at that car, and struggling with police officers. A group of fans claims Williams assaulted them after his performance Friday night. Tonight, Williams admitted to us he has had trouble with the law here in Seattle this weekend. He made a string of allegations against police and the media. Then he told us because of his bad weekend in Seattle, he's decided to end his stand-up career.
I'm just going to go ahead and announce my retirement from stand-up. I'm kind of done. This is...
I've
already discussed it with my kids. I wasn't really going to do it on the Seattle street. I was going to go to Los Angeles and do it in the offices of ICM or Live Nation.
Matt Williams has proven to be unpredictable, so we're going to watch and see how this all plays out.
Wow.
Did you see that he looked like that recently?
Wow.
You didn't see that one, did
no,
you?
That's...
So that's something there.
What's
I love
going?
The guy. This is a guy I love. We all fucking dug the first special. Cracked me up. I knew him when he fucking was Cat in a Hat. He come to the store on Sunday nights, bro, let me get a spot up in this motherfucker. You know, and I try to put him up there and argue with Mitzi, the whole fucking deal. So, to see this, you got to, what is that?
That's drugs.
Now, somebody wrote a book about him.
I'm pretty sure that's
somebody
drugs.
Somebody wrote a book about him saying Did what they? Happened, the allegations.
I don't know.
I've never seen him smoke crack. I've never
that,
seen
that seems like a, that. That seems like a drug
years,
issue. Bro. Or it's either a drug issue or it's a mental health issue.
It's
but
a,
there's something, there was something... disconnected there, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it's a mental health issue and he does drugs of any kind, it could set him off into like a weird spiral. That's
powerful, Dr. Redband.
Yeah.
Next, after Oprah, fuck Dr. Oz. Dr. Redband can read off cue cards too. You fuck.
That's amazing. Our society, instead of the after-school special, it's Dr. fucking Oz,
or it's Maury Povich.
And his sister was
you are not the father. Yeah.
That is fucked up because sometimes I watch KTLA in the morning to see where there's traffic. And when I get home, the TV's still on and it's one of those shows. And I'll make a sandwich listening to, like, you know, so this guy took a test. Yeah. He is not the father.
And the guy will do this pre-planned out dance.
Oh, my
like
God.
Those dudes break dance.
I told you, bitch.
Yeah.
I told you I came on your titties.
Those shows are so fucking fake. I know so many people that were like, all right, we need you to come to the show. You're going to play boyfriend and girlfriend, and you're going to get in a fight.
There was a dude who used to work at Governor's in Long Island, mm-hmm. and he used to be involved in those shows. And what they would do is they don't tell you to fake it. But what they do is they call you up and they say, our show is looking for a guy who is having an affair with his brother's wife. He goes, that's crazy. I'm having an affair with my brother's wife. And he doesn't even have a brother. Right. Next thing you know, he's on camera. So whatever it was, that was the game. They would call you up and say, we're looking for a guy who spent his life in an Asian gang, but he's a white guy. You know, I spent my life in an Asian gang, and I was a white guy.
Right.
And they'll just make up nonsense. Like a lot of those shows, it's 100% nonsense. It's just entertainment.
But you know what's crazy, going back to that family thing you said, like, in my house, I grew up in a fucked up house, but there was a lot of love, and a lot of love came from my mom. Even my stepdad was a good guy to an extreme. Then I meet people who have no reason to be fucked up. Like, the people I meet are, like, cunning, like, people with two-face,
right,
backstabbing motherfuckers, yeah, are people who come from perfect households.
They're spoiled.
Who you think the parents did the work, but really didn't.
Mm.
And they're like cunning, and they're two-faced, and they do shit to people, and they think they're cute. I would always figure out these people have no reason to be cocksuckers like me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I would look at myself. Like, I came from a fucked up house, so I understand. I give myself a breather.
Right.
But this guy had two nice fucking parents that were both attorneys. This guy's the biggest piece of shit out of all of them.
But you know what the difference is? The people that grow up with everything, that have it from the get-go, there's a real issue with self-worth, and there's also a real issue with a lack of character because they're spoiled. When you talk about spoiled kids, you want to send them camping, you know, take those spoiled kids and send them out to wilderness camp. Take those spoiled kids and make them work if they knew what it was. People need to understand what struggle's about. They need to understand what labor is about. They need to understand what effort is about. How you can get over something is difficult, and it builds character. And if that never happens to you, you don't have any character. So while you're trying to make something happen for yourself, you know, you're trying to do it any way you can. And the way you've been getting by your whole life is probably bullshitting people, bullshitting your parents. You know, the people that work for your parents probably listen to you because you're rich, and they let you slide. And they don't develop the character. They never have an opportunity to actually develop character. So that's why. They're not struggling, and they're not being sneaky because they're desperado. They're being sneaky because they're weak. And that's just the instinct in man is to try to get out of work. The instinct in man is to try to, did you do it? Yeah, I did it. Even if you didn't, you know. The instinct is not to man up and go, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't do it. I fucked off. I went out with my friends, we got drunk, and I forgot all about it, and I woke up late. I'm so sorry. You know, I don't know what to tell you, but that's what happened. You know, it's obviously a huge error, but what am I going to do now? Nobody wants to do that, so you bullshit. Oh, the car totally wouldn't work. We called the police. We thought there was a bomb in it. You know, you'll say all kinds of crazy shit to get out of work, and especially if you have a weak character.
That's amazing. I never put that. Like, I've been locked up with kids that had no reason.
Did we freeze up or something?
Mm-mm.
I've been locked up with kids that I've seen their visitation on a Saturday. And I've said to myself, what did you do, bro? Those are your fucking parents here? What the fuck did you... How can you do this with such a nice family? The whole family would show up. The sister, the brother.
Well, you know about Michael Douglas' son, right?
He got beat the fuck up in Pittsburgh or something like that.
They broke his leg and his fingers. They broke his femur. It's fucking hard to break someone's femur. I mean, you gotta hold their leg down and stomp on it, you know? And this guy's fucked up. I mean, his leg's in a plate now, his fingers are jacked. It's because he, somehow or another, it was revealed that when he got a shorter sentence, it was because he gave up a bunch of other drugs.
Yeah,
it was his own lawyer fucked him, or someone fucked him.
Someone fucked him, but someone he fucked himself, that dude.
Yeah.
He did something.
It's Michael Douglas' son. I mean, Michael Douglas has been famous for a long time.
Do you remember when he used to come to the Comedy Store?
No, that's not the same son.
That's not the same son that used to come to the Comedy Store all fucked up at night?
No, that's the brother.
That's the brother. Somebody from his family used to come up to the store at night.
That's Michael Douglas' brother.
Now, and then this kid went to New York and was dealing in meth. Look, all those fucking famous father kids like that.
Yeah.
They come out it's not good. Fucked up. And once they found that, you know, that's the only way they get
Stallone's
attention.
Stallone's kid overdosed?
Did he really overdose?
But wasn't that what it was?
It was accidental.
But he had a drug problem, right?
No.
Really?
Stallone's
done? Yeah, no.
I don't think so. That's what they said at first.
That's what I had heard. I should Google that. So
well,
don't
you know, worry. I mean,
By the way, you got to check out notthefather.tumblr.com.
Oh, no.
And it's just all like these GIF animations from that from You're Not the Father episodes.
Yeah, it says possible drug overdose. Dies from pill overdose. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, they're saying an overdose, man.
Really?
Yeah, that's what most of these sites are saying. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, I don't think you have to release it, so they might not. They might just be speculating. I don't think Sylvester Stallone would have to release why his son died. That's got to be fucking devastating.
That's
man.
Devastating. To
well,
you.
These guys, like, you know, a guy like Stallone, first of all, he's not with the wife anymore, that kid.
He
and
hasn't
been
in
forever.
Yeah.
He hasn't been in forever. And then on top of that, he's probably doing these movies where he's in Thailand for 6 months and this place for 6 months. You know, he's doing Rambo and shit and flying all over the place. It must be fucking really hard to also be a father. A lot of those dudes become drug addicts, though. That is true. It's a lot of them, right?
They were telling me that one of those Thousand Oaks High School, the big thing was heroin up there.
I bet.
And one of the high schools up there.
I bet oxys.
When I was a fucking kid, we smoked, they sold joints at school. Some people sold little hits of fucking microdot acid. You know, $2 a piece, but fucking heroin, you gotta go to the city to that shit. Coke, yeah, not really, not in high school. You know, it was reefer and little pills and those sheets of paper that were acid and
yeah,
that's it. Valiums, all that shit, you gotta go over the fucking bridge. You know, you gotta go to Washington Square Park and something to get the party started in those fucking days.
But I think those Thousand Oaks kids, first of all, that you're like way out in the suburbs too, and all it takes is one freak bitch to convert the whole fucking batch of them. All you need to do is have one kid that's down to do some H, down to do some H, bro. You know, one Puerto Rican kid that's like a year older than everybody that's been held back.
One? But fucking heroin, bro.
Yeah.
I could see he's drinking a bottle of Boone's Farm you stole from your uncle's place or something like that. The strawberry shit that you puke out and you go, I'll never drink that thing again. The fucking heroin into smoking out of a straw with aluminum foil. I never even seen that type of shit. That's disgusting.
That's gross. It's gross, and that's like some proven stupid shit for decades. It's not like something new. Like
what?
This heroin. It's not like, you know, like nobody's had problems with it yet. It's not like bath salts. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I'm telling you, man, bath salts are amazing. Nothing even happens. Just do it, dude. Don't worry about it. Some shit I sent Stanhope. Stanhope didn't know about that we had McAfee on the podcast, and we were going over it, and I told him about the whole bath salts thing. He didn't know about that either. So then I went back and I said, I'll send you some links. You got to read some of this stuff. So I went back and read some of it myself. One of the things that McAfee said that he did like a whole like an interview for like one of these Radar Online or something like that about bath salts, about how awesome bath salts
are.
Are
you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, but bath salts are the finest drug ever conceived. That's what he said.
Wow. Yeah, he's now in the United States, right? Yeah. Like he's in California probably.
He confessed that he's a huge fan of MDPV, better known as bath salts, and worked for a year trying to purify psychoactive drugs from compounds commercially available over the internet. This is apparently, he says this is all bullshit now.
Yeah, right.
But in
of course,
this
sir.
Okay, this is not an interview. This is all based on articles online that he stuff that he wrote on that drug forum.
Oh, okay. All the
yeah, it's hilarious.
I don't care anymore.
Stanhope had no idea though. He didn't know that it was this. The whole story was this bananas.
You know what? I lied. There was PCP when I was in high school.
Oh yeah, there
in
was
Jersey.
A
there,
of
was,
that.
There was what I call THC crystal, which is really PCP. It was really just watered down fucking PCP. That shit was good though. I liked it.
I tell you about my boxing coach.
Uh-huh.
When I was in Boston, my boxing coach got his finger bitten off when he was on PCP. Somebody bit his finger off, and they took his toe off because his finger was gone. It's like from the first knuckle.
Like the knuckle to the side, like the first stub, this part right here, was still there. The rest of it was missing. So what they did was they took his, not his big toe, but the second toe. They removed that toe and they created a finger. They put the bones back in and screwed it in place. But you couldn't get it to work. So he had it permanently curved so that he could be able to throw his right hook. So, like, you know, he didn't want to, like, have a finger like that where he couldn't box anymore, because that's the only option. The option was you could have it fully straight or you could have it permanently curved. So he took it permanently curved so he could throw his right. I want to be able to throw my right hook. Yeah. What am I going to do without the right hook? That's my shot. I got a fucking left of the body. I step in with the right hook. That's good night. I'm not taking away good night. So he kept the finger
fucking. I'm not taking away good night.
And so I was teaching him Taekwondo when he was teaching me boxing, and he would be shuffling around with that fucking four-toed foot. Three toes and nothing, a big gapper, a big floppy gapper between these toes over here and the big toe. There was just one was missing, and he's just trying to shuffle around and throw that fucking creepy hybrid right hook that was part of it was a toe. So when you were shaking his hand, you were shaking a little bit of a toe. A little bit of toe was in his hand.
Your hand always smelled like feet.
Yeah, always. It was a thicker finger. You know, it was like a fucking like a mason.
In 83, I had this gig running numbers from like 10 to 2 in the afternoon on 118th and 3rd for these Puerto Ricans I had grown up with. I had nothing. I had no job. I had no direction. So I went to them like a man. I go, I just need a little help. And they would just throw me like $1.20 a day just to go in and eat their food and tell stories and shit. And they'd tell me, walk around the block, go get this. And one day I went over there like, nah, we're not doing it here today. We're doing it up in Brooklyn. If you want to go up there, go up there. But it's a short day because when they switch tracks, the numbers fuck up. So I'm walking and I'm going to get a bag of reefer. In those days, Harlem had really good Thai steak. And I'm walking to get this bag of reefer, and this chick comes up to me, Joe Rogan, cute. And I'm not really checking her out. She goes, do you want to go partners on some whatever she called it, Jonestown, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go.
Some cute girl just comes up to you.
Comes up to me with glasses, black girl, 10:30 in the morning, comes up to me and says, you want to go partners on some Jonestown? Because what you do is they had a bag of dope for $20, which is reefer. And then for like $3, you got a tray. That's what they call them, trays. So she goes, let's go partners on two trays and we'll split it with a spleef or whatever the fuck you said.
Wow.
So basically you take the reefer, you put it in a paper, and then you take the tray and you sprinkle the dust in the joint, you roll it, and you bang it out. We start smoking this motherfucker. And in the middle of this, she tells me that she's pregnant.
What?
This bitch is, and then she shows me her little belly. She's like, yeah, but I'm hooked on these trays and shit.
Oh, my God.
I didn't fuck her or nothing. Like, I don't remember what. But I remember we hung out, like, from 12 to, like, 9 o'clock that night just talking shit. Wow. I remember taking the bus going, God damn. Wow. I just smoked fucking Jonestown with a pregnant fucking black chick. That's when they would give the names of that shit, whatever tragedy had just happened.
Wow.
Like, remember, what was the black basketball player from the Celtics? So it was a rookie. And he did coke and he died.
Glenn Bias.
I remember, like, the next day, you go over to Harlem, go, who's got the blood? I got the shit that killed Bias, motherfucker.
They always did that. That was always it. Do you remember when weed was always government weed? It was always the government. Man, I got the government weed.
The shit.
That was like,
what was it called? Like M13 or something?
Yeah,
like
the
that.
Dudes had like a name for it. Yeah, this is MC17, man. There's only like 10 people in the country and allowed to get this. They get this from the government. Yeah, the government weed was like the best weed for the longest time. Like, if you got a hold of some government weed, that was like some serious shit. Isn't that hilarious? That's how far weed has come, you know? There's a lot of goddamn weed snobs out there, and they need to relax. Let it go. You know what else? People that want to tell them, you never had our weed. Please shut the fuck up. Just please. There is no stronger weed anywhere now. It's a pretty much a saturation. The shit that we got in Austin, remember that shit we got in Austin, Texas? Oh, my Jesus. And you know what the strongest shit I've gotten all year from? Seattle. When they made it legal, they just took shit just to took the Voodoo side. Chicken and Moot, you know, hooked me up when I was there. They gave me this joint that was like a fucking direct. Remember those old school operators? You know, they would pick up the phone. Operator, mm-hmm. That was right to God. Just went right to him. I just smoked that weed. And before I went on stage, I remember sitting in the back room just feeling so vulnerable and so, but so alive and in tune to everything. And me and Sam Tripoli was baked out of his fucking mind. I mean, it was dangerous. Like, wow, this might be too high to talk.
Wow. I'm going to tell you something. Seattle, they're putting hash on everything. Seattle, Oregon, and Colorado have always had some that strong. And if you look at fucking Oregon, it runs through Northern California, the whole Reno area there.
Oh, yeah.
But you got that rain that affects people, affects all that weed.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's outdoor weed.
Yeah.
Now you add some altitude to that, which there is some. It's a little altitude, 2,000 feet up in Mount Rainier, whatever the fuck those mountains are. I'm no geology major, whatever the fuck it is. Colorado, same thing.
Yeah.
The higher that weed got, the higher you got up into that fucking mountain, that weed just got fucking stronger.
Really?
Yeah, dog. In the wintertime and all that, there's something to that weed. I smoked some deadly fucking weed in Colorado 20 years ago. I don't care what the fuck anybody tells me. Forget 28%. This shit was off the fucking charts, the shit they're growing now. The shit they're growing out here now, in a year, we're going to have 45% weed. Just clean shit that you smoke and you're done. Done.
Do you think that there's going to be any repercussions to these states making it legal? Obama said right now that they're not going to go on after people, but that doesn't mean anything. Because they said they weren't only going to go after people that violated both state and federal law when it came to marijuana. But I don't think that was necessarily the case. I think the DEA just went after people that their operation was too big. I think that was a lot of it.
I think that.
What do you think they're going to do here?
Between you and I, what does the federal government do? They shut shit down.
Yeah.
So eventually, one morning, we're going to wake up, we're going to turn the news on, there's going to be a bunch of fucking people on the street, and they're going to raid, you know, they're going to take all the resources of one day and raid 20 fucking stores and lock up and confiscate, hit the big ones, and hit them where it hurts in the fucking pocket.
I think they're going to cut out funding or something to the states. Something, I think they're something's just going to fuck the state up where the go state's going to be like,
I don't think the state needs funding.
The government is not going to have egg on their face, even though that whatever they're doing in Colorado with the marijuana, with the medical marijuana situation, is fucking beautiful.
I think if Colorado just went full, like, fucking legal marijuana and took that money and taxed it heavily, look, if you're going to allow people to sell weed, why not charge 20% taxes? I think that's really reasonable. That's fair. Yeah, 20% taxes on everything you sell. Let's just do that. Like, then that money goes straight to the schools, straight to the cops, straight to the teachers.
I mean, let's be honest, how much markup is on weed as it is right now? Imagine it being legal where everyone can grow it. Weed's going to be like fucking grass. And exactly. No one's going to give a shit.
Mark, it's going to be like lettuce. Like, you go to a supermarket, you buy a head of lettuce for like $3 or whatever. You know how long it takes to grow a fucking head of lettuce? It's amazing you can get one for $3. Yeah. You can get a nutritious piece of vegetable that's a long fucking time to grow, and you get it for $3. That's what it would be like for weed, because those when you go up to Santa Barbara and you see those strawberry patches where they just go on, like Oxnard, they just go on and on and on, that will be weed. Yeah. It will all be there. And then they'll have to have armed guards, because high school kids will be sneaking in, stealing your fucking weed. It's not going to be
like strawberries.
They
probably wouldn't even care. They're probably going to be like, hey, take whatever you want. You know? Yeah, we got a lot of it.
It's like that scene in Scarface where the guy whips the coke off the ground and fucking licks it. It was just on the floor. You know what I'm saying? It was people, just on the fucking floor.
People don't understand that you're going to have, if you made legal weed, and you're going to, anytime you have people that are smoking weed, you're going to have examples of people that are wasting their lives smoking weed. You're going to have those examples. There's no doubt about it. You're going to have kids that are lazy, that just smoke weed and watch video games, and they used to be good students, but they're not anymore. But you're also going to have a lot of other people. And this is what pisses me off the most. When you see all these news reports about weed and all these the problems that people are having with weed, they don't talk about the positive benefits of it. Just psychologically. We all know the difference between people that we hang out with that smoke weed and that don't smoke weed. There's a difference. And one of the differences is the people that don't smoke weed, there's a level of reality that they don't operate in. You don't go there with them. You don't have conversations with them in that level. You don't. There's a place of vulnerability and respect to the great awe of it all that they don't really possess. They have like a lens in front of them that they don't ever take out and like whew, raw dog the universe. When you get really high, it's like you're raw dogging the universe. You're getting the whole experience in one big, crazy, frightening, what you call paranoia is reality. You should be fucking paranoid. And that marijuana rush where it really like sets all in and like makes you really take in this experience in that freaky, you know, crazy high way. If you're hanging out with people that don't smoke weed, they don't go there. They don't understand that talk. They don't get that conversation.
You could tell the difference. I could tell that. I don't judge people by that. I really like
I know a lot of cool people that don't smoke weed.
I know a lot of great people that don't smoke weed, and I like them for that reason. I like them for that reason, but I could see where the conversation ends at. Well, like, I have a friend who has a bad back but doesn't get high. And I've been trying to explain to him, I understand your lung concerns and stuff. There's a fucking tablet now you could take. Now they have no more excuses. If you have a tight back or whatever, they have a hash oil now that comes in a tablet. It looks like a vitamin C tablet that you could travel with on a flight and they won't even fucking ask you. So, and he's like, no, I'm scared, I'm whatever. Okay, then keep going to the fucking chiropractor for the next year. Give it a try. I know I would if I had a fucking bad back. I'd try anything if I had a fucking bad back at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some people that are in fucking serious pain.
And that's, I tell you, man, a lot. I've heard a lot of things over the years. Listen, I'm not going to, I could sit here and tell you. I got mental illness. I got VD. I got an itch in my ass. I got foot fungus. I can tell you all the shit that they'll give anxiety, sleep apnea, all the shit they'll give it to you for. I was smoking weed way before it came up for medical excuses. I was smoking
medical
weed.
Excuses?
Yeah, I was smoking weed to get fucked up and see the devil, plain and simple. Mm. To see it with, at the way it was every fucking day. That's why I smoked weed. But now, you know, now it's because of the medical thing out here and whatever, but do I see a difference in people? Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You could talk to them a little deeper. You could actually even catch them. Some people who don't smoke weed, you can't catch them on anything or even confront them on anything because they might have a fucking heart attack. People who smoke weed get to a point where you might take them somewhere and they'll giggle at themselves. That's what I'm saying. There's an attitude.
Right.
But
well, the people that can't laugh at themselves are really a pain in the ass to hang out with.
You got
to
laugh at yourself.
Yeah. Anybody who can't laugh at themselves is annoying. Those are the most annoying humans. You can't make fun of your own self at all. You don't think, what are you, perfect? What kind of douchebag are you? What are you, the Messiah? The motherfucker? If that's, you know what, one of the funniest things about Jesus, you know, we were talking about people that we know that are going crazy Jesus lately. One of the funniest things about Jesus is that if Jesus actually really did come back, nobody would fucking ever believe him. Not a chance in hell. There's not a chance in hell. If that dude wearing sandals and robes and his beard, just like in the pictures, was walking down the street with holes in his hand and blood coming out of his hand, people would probably fucking arrest him. They'd either shoot him or arrest him or get him on antidepressants.
Well, Jesus can't just show up to a party now and say, I'm Jesus.
Right, what would
he
have to
do? He's got to do something. He's got to do a big fucking
trick. They would say, this is the devil. This is the devil trying to pretend he's Jesus.
He's got to set up like Gabe Rudiger against GSP, and for Gabe Rudiger to take GSP down and fucking break his fucking shoulder. That's you know what I'm saying? Like something to that effect. Something just fucking, that's what Jesus did.
That's that ridiculous? That would be a miracle? Yeah, like that would be enough like, to convince? You
know, it's like Joey Diaz going down to 185 and winning the fucking Olympics.
That's funny.
You know, something to
that. Wouldn't even work. You'd have to fly. You have to come back from the dead. I mean, think about the shit that Jesus did. He healed the sick. Didn't he cure blind people? Was that one of the ones?
Yeah.
Turned water into wine?
No, that was Moses who cut the ocean.
Didn't he turn water into wine? Yeah, he did, right?
Let me ask you something on the other side. Can you imagine if they drug tested comics? We were talking about the other day. Let's say you got a really bad comic and he kills three nights in a row, like comics would get together. Come here.
Guy's on weed.
The guy's on fucking something, though. Yeah. He's on testosterone. We better check him
out. Well, we're all on performance enhancing supplements when it comes to comedy. Weed and Alpha Brain together, there's no doubt about it. That's a goddamn performance enhancing
supplement. Weed, for me, loosens me. And an edible, to a certain degree. Like, if I eat the edible at a certain time and I'm all wired up, I'll eat death on fucking stage.
Right.
But it comes to a point of time with edible when I just get giggly as fuck. And that you can't stop me at that point.
Yeah,
it
that's
doesn't
like
really matter.
A comfortable
really matter.
Level.
Yeah.
Like not the scary, like skiing feeling when you're like skiing through the universe on an edible. Like, oh, I can't stop. That's not good.
When you're stoned and it's dark at the Comedy Store. That's it right there. When you're stoned and it's fucking dark. When you don't see nobody but the three people in front of you that you're talking to. Stoned and dark and you think you're speaking in the dark. You're just talking into the darkness and there's laughter, but you don't question it because you're fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
And that hollow echo feeling in the room. That OR, man. You want to talk about like a historic room as far as like comedy rooms. That original room is like one of the most historic rooms like ever in the art form of comedy. You know? There was a weird feeling always just being on that stage. Just that was always like a wow. Doesn't matter
how many years it did stand up. When you're on stage in the original room, you're like, wow, this is a
my
crazy
breath
old
just
spot.
Got taken away because I finally figured out how I can explain the OR to people because they'll get it. When you go to a gym, the older the gym, the more you could smell it. And I don't mean armpit. There's a different odor to a gym. It's like when you go to a good jiu-jitsu school, you could smell a little foot. It's not overwhelming, but you could smell just a little foot in the air. Like, you're like, this is a good fucking gym. It's just that perfect amount of foot. It's not cheese. It's just foot. You know what I'm saying? It's just foot.
Well, there's one thing that you do get from places that have a lot of experience, and that's like they have a weird vibe to them, like the Ice House. Like, we were at the Ice House the other day after it was closed. It was dark out, and we're standing in the back. I was like, feel this room, man. This room has got, like, a crazy vibration. It sounds like total, like, hippie bullshit. That sounds like nonsense. Like, objects do not have memory. That's what Cara Santa Maria would tell you. There's no evidence that objects have memory. But there's a feel that places have. Whether that's a self-imposed feel, you've created it in your own imagination. But when I stand in the back room of the Ice House, I stand there. I go, wow, this is a crazy-ass room. Like, Steve Martin motherfucking performed here. You know what I mean? I mean, I watched George Lopez kill there in the 90s. Kill. When George Lopez was on fire, like the late 90s, before George Lopez had any TV shows, maybe he had like a few things going on when he was just hitting it hard in the clubs every night. I watched him destroy in that Ice House. There's like a sign up there when George Lopez was at his prime there where he sold out like fucking 15 shows in a row there or something crazy like that, you know? And that place has seen some shit.
No, but it's nothing like walking up the stairs into the original room. Nothing like making that left up those stairs when you're walking straight and somebody goes, where? There. Right or wrong? You know what I'm talking about? Can you feel it, motherfuckers?
Yeah.
When you first go in there, you're like, which way? Okay.
Move that curtain aside.
And you walk up those fucking stairs and just that odor, it smells like a little bit of booze, a little bit like pussy, a little bit of sweat, bad comedy, good comedy, but it smells like it just smells like success. It just smells like something. Something is in the air that you got to do your thing in there. Yeah. You really got to do your thing in there. And then when you sit in the back and you feel the lights would go off and on, and you'd hear that zzzz,
the lights.
And you know, it was just a weird little comedy thing.
You ever get to do, you hosted open mics there, right?
That was my job.
Yeah.
I hosted the open mic, but I was the 10 o'clock guy.
You know what's cool about that? When the lights were on with all the different people's names.
Please, yeah.
You know, you get to see Sam Kinison in neon.
That was one of my biggest scams of all time, hosting at the Comedy Store.
Why was it a scam?
Because I had a perfect deal. I would fucking go up there, get $25 to host. I would do 20, 15 up front. I would either call Rogan or Dice and tell him to come down because I was hosting and I put you up first. You guys went up to an hour, and I'd go home. And Don Barris would close the show. And that's the way it was. I would go up there to do a set, bring up a fucking star.
You know what
leave.
The problem was, though? When we were there all the time, we were doing Comedy Store comedy. And then when we would go somewhere else, we would bring Comedy Store comedy to them, too. And there was a lot of places that could not handle it. You remember when you got fucking kicked out of Dublin's? Like fucking 97 or something like that. We go and do a set at Dublin's, and all of a sudden I hear yelling and whatnot. Joey has got some chick in an ice house, like a freezer, like a giant like in-room freezer, and he's eating coke off her pussy. And security comes in and tells him he's got to stop.
In the fucking liquor.
There's a camera in there. They were watching it.
That place is closed now, right?
Yeah, it's closed. It's like, I put the coke in my sock, and the cops came. And I'm standing in front of the fucking thing with the chick crying with her girlfriends. I've never had that happen before. And the guy with the long hair, remember that he stopped you that night?
I almost
died and all this shit. Because he was there with them. I see the girl in the hallway, and I'm like, let's go downstairs. And all of a sudden, she's got blow. Alonzo Bowden's talking to her.
Yeah, didn't he say something stupid like, I almost fucking killed him?
Yeah,
like, I almost killed you.
Fuck out of here. But the best was I'm sitting there, fucking, I got the eight ball in my sock, because I'm not giving that motherfucker up till the cops get there. Fuck you. I'm old school. If the cops want to, nothing happened. Where's the rest of the drugs? They're downstairs. Let me search you. You can't search me. You can't fucking search me. You have no reason. It's his word against mine. Where's the tape? You know, I would have held on to that coke, but the savior that night was Ralphie May. He went to the all-you-could-eat at the Japanese fucking place across the street. What's the name of the Japanese place? Miyagi's.
Miyagi. Is that place there anymore? No.
One of those fucking
places. It's a
places.
Pink taco now.
Oh, right.
Isn't it a pink taco now?
Yeah, it's pink taco now.
Is it a taco place
pink
now?
Pink taco,
it's
yeah.
It's a pink taco. That place in Vegas. Do you know the pink taco is that place in the Hard Rock in Vegas? Good place.
They opened a taco spot there now with a Japanese sushi place?
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah.
And it's a hot place, too. Like, it's where all the celebrities go to eat.
So what happened,
tacos.
Really?
Yeah.
So what happened to the taco place up the corner?
Brand. That's still there.
The little one on the corner. Yeah, it's like $92 to get two tacos in there.
Yeah.
Not bad tacos, though.
Yeah, there was a lot of Benito's is the best.
Is Benito's good? You like Benito's?
Benito's is fantastic, and it's 24 hours. Is that on Beverly? Is that where that is?
Yeah.
We used to always go there after the improv. That place is sensational. That is legit.
What do you get over at Benito's?
Carne asada, my friend.
Oh, shit.
With extra hot sauce. Don't play games.
Oh, shit.
Get that carne asada with all the real fresh chopped cilantro and onions in that motherfucker, and they have pickled jalapenos there. Take your chances with those bitches. Yeah, and then throw some hot sauce on that fucker.
Good googly boogly
and
shit.
And by the way, it's packed with drunks. Packed with drunks. You'll always find somebody you know there. There's always somebody you know there.
Or a victim.
After a comedy show. Or a victim.
Or a victim. You like tacos? I'm going to go over to my house. Yeah, can we come too? Yeah, let me make a left on the fucking corner. Get the fuck out of here.
You guys don't do coke, do you? Oh, my God. I mean,
I don't do that either, but
I don't
ask
do it. I will. I mean, if you have it, I will.
But the last place I went to, they had a bunch of cocaine. I didn't like it. Sure, you look.
I don't even remember what happened, but I got VD, and I didn't even know it until I gave it to Joey Diaz.
No, I got chlamydia, bitch. Big fucking difference. It was this. And I never seen the leakage out of my helmet. I seen it out of her fucking pussy. That's where I seen it.
How did you know you had it then?
Because I had itches. I had a fucking burning sensation in the tube. I had a burning temptation in the fucking tube.
This should be something like that they sell you. Have you made a critical error with your penis? This should be like something you could just slap on. It kills 99.999% of it. Shoot it in the tube. Shoot it right in the hole, right in the piss hole, and then wipe it on the outside, and it kills almost everything.
Well, the foot spray says it kills 99% of all viruses, and so what I did,
foot spray.
I was going to spray it on my dick, and then I was in the bathroom doing it, and I looked over at the mouthwash, and it's a 98% on it also, or 99%. I'm like, it can't be the same percent, you know, like that one thing, it has to be different. What's the odds? But I think that 1% is like AIDS or something.
I think it's probably just alcohol, right? Is that what's killing everything?
Yeah. Yeah,
so I think that number is the same, whether it's the mouthwash.
Is foot spray the same, though, as alcohol? As the
I don't know what kind of foot spray you're rocking.
Foot spray freezes your dick, so you could do it from a distance. Don't do it really close up.
Foot
it's, spray like, it comes out like freezing. Like it's like it could freeze something.
Have you ever like seen that stuff that you use to clean off the spray that you used to clean off keyboards?
Yeah, same thing. You know, it gets really, really cold. That's the same thing.
I read somewhere that someone was addicted to that spray.
Like I used to do it in high school, but I wasn't addicted to it. That's the worst.
What the fuck does it do?
It's just like, you know, nitrous oxide, like everyone did nitrous.
Whippets. Yeah,
Whippets. It's like that, but it's like a shittier version of it. And it just kind of makes you go wah, 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 wah.
I worked at a Newport Creamery, which is an ice cream place in Newton, Massachusetts. And I think I did Whippets once, but it didn't really work with me. But the people that worked there, there was this one kid. I'll just say his last name because he knows friends. He knows people that I know now. His name is Charles. I don't know if he wants this information release. But Charles was working there as I was working there. And he would tell somebody, watch the grill real quick. And he would run in the back. And he was cooking while I was doing dishes. And he would run in the back and grab the thing and do a whip it and then run back out there to the grill.
The best
twist it out of his head.
The best is what they call nitrous hits. What you do is you take a balloon and you fill the balloon up with nitrous bong hits. You fill the balloon up and then you put it on the bong somehow. I can't remember how to do it. So when you inhale the bong, it's all nitrous air. So you're getting pot air mixed with nitrous air when you hit it.
See, that's something only white people would come up with.
And then snowbong hits where you pack your bong full of snow in the wintertime. You suck it through the snow. That was that.
I've seen that. I've
done it a thousand times.
Ice. Yeah. I've
in
done
Colorado,
ice.
Colorado, I love it. I love it. I would get the fresh snow and pack in the bong and smoke. I love all that. But now, if I have a bong, I put ice in it too.
Well, we used to smoke bongs before we did the podcast. So the problem is you get too stoned. You don't know what you're talking about. It's like if you're going to do bong hits and then do a podcast, you got to take an hour or two before you talk. because you're not going to really have your fucking sea legs under you, as Dennis McKenna would say.
Is that joint still rocking, by the way?
Yeah, it's right over here. It wouldn't. You can't, you know. Bongs are too strong. Vaporizers, don't you find vaporizers to be a different experience? It doesn't seem to be the same experience as just smoking it.
I want to get one of those vape pens.
I have it at the house. Okay. I have used it at the house.
This guy had one last night that was mint chocolate. I'm like, all right, these vape pens aren't the best. Whatever, I don't care. I took two hits off that, and it tasted so delicious. It tastes like ice cream, and I was so fucking stoned off that thing. It was. Everyone has them now in L.A. Everyone has these pens that look like little.
That's going to be the thing.
That's the big thing, right?
And somebody's going to invent one that's going to fuck people up. You know, that's the bottom line. Somebody's really going to. Like, the Eureka gets me high, but at night I don't get high. At night I won't get high, and I got to switch up the tubes a lot. Right. Like, right now I got a sativa, and I have something else. I got a pretty good fucking sativa.
Let me ask you this, Joe Diaz. If you were going to do anything with this room, what would you suggest being done here with this new studio?
Well, outside, you have to have a mat out there.
A mat for jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
We'll put a pool table out there.
Your office is in there.
Right.
That's your office. You know, what's with the waiting room? You ain't a
dentist. In case people come by and there's extra room.
There ain't no fucking no extra people.
We had a couple people here the other day. Dennis brought a posse with him. Russell Peters comes here. You're going to need that just for him.
Yeah.
Really?
Just for his ego. Oh!
What else can you put the pool table?
Just kidding, Russell. I love you.
Definitely have a mat up here.
A lot of people were mad at Russell Peters because of that Mixmaster Mike interview. I thought he added a lot to it. He added a lot of DJ knowledge, you know, told us a lot of shit about needles. Why are people such haters?
I talked to him about it a couple days ago.
And what did he say?
Yeah, he was bummed about it because, you know, Twitter is so harsh.
You know what it is? It's just a bunch of mean cunts.
Yeah.
I mean, most people, like, why not just listen to it and just take it in? It was a goddamn 3-hour conversation. Mike told a lot of shit about working with the Beastie Boys.
Right.
Told a lot of shit about DJing, being in front of, he said he was in front of 400,000 fucking people. 400,000 people in Germany.
By the way, his CD's out now. His free CD's out.
Where do you get it?
I think it's MixmasterMike.com.
And MixmasterMike.com, I believe the I's are all ones. I think it's one of those. He's leet. You remember that back in the video game days? He'd be leet.
On his Twitter, yeah, I think it's one. But his website's MixmasterMike.com using the regular spelling. And it's a free CD, and it's really good. It's a remix CD. So
and he's cool as fuck.
Yeah, he is cool.
It was awesome having him on the podcast. Even if Russell Peters did fuck up the interview. Russell, you didn't. Russell's a sweetie. I don't know how anybody could not like Russell.
You're bipolar today.
No, I'm Russell just playing. Russell I'm just jokes.
Russell Polar. Russell fucking Peters is a nice kid. He's a gentleman.
He's a great guy.
He takes great good human care being. Of a lot of good friends of
he
mine.
He does.
Bro. He takes good care.
You know what I like? I like when a guy hits big like he does and becomes more generous. Yeah, that's how he is. Yeah.
You know, here's something he did I didn't know about. I found out the other day, like when Sam, there was an HBO special and, They originally wanted to have Sam on the HBO special or the Comedy Central special, but then at the last second they're like, "All right, we don't have enough money for you, Sam, to pay for you and to film it and all that stuff, so we're not going to have you on the special." So Russell paid out of his own pocket, like paid for them to film it and put it on the special, and that really like pumped up Sam Tripoli like 5 years ago or so.
That totally sounds like something he would do. Yeah, he's a perfect example of a guy who's got a lot of great things that are happening for him. Like if you see, Russell was showing me pictures of on his phone. He's doing like 15,000 seat arenas, and he's doing them on a regular basis. And he's a perfect example of a guy who's just a fucking sweetheart of a guy. Sweetheart. And people go to see him. They have a great experience. And they tell more people about him. And then they come and see him more. And then he's got swarms of people. And it all happened, by the way, because they liked his stuff. This didn't happen because he was on some fucking crazy sitcom. It didn't happen because he was in a great movie. It happened because he had YouTube clips. People saw the YouTube clips and said, this guy is awesome. And then it all grew from there. Russell Peters is one of the best internet success stories ever. He really does. As far as like us, as far as like comics that have gone from putting out a video and then making it huge in big places, Russell's the fucking man. And he's a sweetheart. I've hung out with that guy in Vegas so many times. He gave me this fucking watch. Gave it to me.
He's a gentleman.
See this watch? This is like a really nice watch. It's a Breitling. And all I did is I said, we were at a bar. You were there. I go, hey, man.
It's like a $10,000 watch, right? Or something crazy.
I don't know what it costs, but it's
pretty. You traded watches and he threw your watch away the next day because it smelled.
My watch I would wear it at the gym. Sorry. It's had a leather band on it. I've been lifting weights with that watch. You should have kept it. That smell would have attracted like powerful females. Yeah, he. I looked at his watch and I go, "That's a cool watch, man." Just like that, I just go, "That's a cool watch." And he goes, "Here, it's yours." And I go, "Get the fuck out of here, man." He's like, "Take it, take it, take it." Grabs my hand, sticks it over my hand. It's ridiculous.
Or Buck Angel, it would attract Buck Angel.
It would probably attract my watch would attract Buck Angel. How much you want for the watch?
That was a Jeremy.
I need that. That's the last piece to my puzzle. If I put that watch on, I'll be fucking manly. I wonder if like girls who become boys still stink like dudes do. You know, because dudes put out a certain fucking
pheromones.
Stinky dudes put out like a certain odor that you don't get from stinky chicks. You know, like when you're in the line at the airport when you're going through security, so you're forced to be like really close to people and you get a whiff of a motherfucker, it's very rarely a girl. Yeah. It's almost always a dude. There's always a dude who you're like, whoa, this motherfucker stinks. That like heavy, rotten underarm
butthole smell.
Smell
too sometimes.
Apparently, I found the answer to our question earlier about underarms. And what it was, women started shaving their legs in, it was like the 1940s. Or like 1915, rather, there was a campaign for women to shave their underarm hair. Because before 1915, women didn't shave their underarm hair. They all went straight Madonna.
Right.
And there was a disdain. They were browbeaten into this in 1915, apparently. I would like to find out what the campaigns looked like. But it was in Harper's Bazaar, a magazine aimed at the upper crust. The first ad featured a waist-up photograph of a young woman who appears to be dressed in a slip with a toga-like outfit covering one shoulder. Her arms are arched over her head, revealing perfectly clear armpits. The first part of the ad read, "Summer dress and modern dancing combined to make necessary the removal of objectionable hair." So that's what it is. They just showed some women some unrealistic vision, much like we have seen in our lifetime with pussy. Like we were talking about earlier. When I was a kid, a girl would pull her pants down and you got what you got. You got welcome to the jungle. You got fucking craziness. We didn't do anything with our pubes. They didn't do anything with theirs. And if a girl did shave her pussy, oh my God, it was like chaos. I had a girl that broke up with her boyfriend. Okay, and then we got back together again, and we couldn't have sex. She goes, we can't have sex. I go, why? She goes, I can't. I go, why? What's wrong? She goes, I shaved myself down there for him. She was embarrassed that her pussy hair hadn't grown back yet.
Wow.
So I was like, it's all right. It's no big deal. You just don't have any pussy hair. Come on. What, I don't know that you had sex with this guy? Settle the fuck down. I can do the math. I'm ashamed. She was ashamed. She was ashamed that she shaved off her pussy hair for this guy. Isn't that hilarious? She couldn't just say, yeah, that's my new thing. You know, fuck pussy hair. No, it was dirty. It was dirty for her. Like, she had done a dirty, dirty thing. She shaved her pussy. Oh, my God. You know what I did for him?
What?
I shaved my pussy. No, you didn't! Shut up! Let me see.
I'll never talk to you
again. They would pull their underwear down, and then that girl would go immediately and tell all of her friends, that dirty bitch is shaving her pussy. Shut the fuck up! Give me a cigarette. I need a cigarette right now. I can't believe this. Oh, my God, that whore. That whore is shaving a pussy. All these chicks in Boston would sit around smoking cigarettes, talk shit about if you should have shaved your pussy. They found out. A fucking whore. Why don't you just put a sign and say, come fuck me? Huh? Huh? Anti-arm hair ads began appearing in Middlebrow McCall's in 1917. Women's razors and depilatories. What's depilatory? I guess that like pulls it out from the roots, right? Those are those horrible ones. You ever seen those things? They look like fucking springs, and they just wrap around your armpit hair and yank them out of the roots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that. Whoa, that's gay. That's very gay. That's very gay. That's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortably gay. Woo! There's something about a dude that's too lean.
So Instagram, the president of Instagram.
Please tell me this. Okay. Yes.
So originally what happened is Instagram supposedly have these new rules out saying, and in the rules it was deciphered that Instagram can sell your photos to a third party. So say like you're an advertising company that's like, hey, I want to buy some photos of girls kissing balloons. And then so that you could go in there and they could just buy your photos and make money off your photos, meaning they can turn a profit on your photos.
So you might be able to go to like a store one day to buy Mountain Dew, and there's a picture of you laughing with a Mountain Dew in your hand.
Exactly.
That you put on your Instagram.
Exactly. But Instagram, just like as within like the next last couple hours, like the co-owner or president or something like that said that this is not the case. This is just people are – you're taking this wrong. We are not selling the photos. You own the photos, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that seems kind of weird. Like, why is it written down that way? So unless they they change the terms, there's still some question there. And I guess there's going more developing about it. So it should be, we'll figure it out soon. But you have till January 16th where this new term kicks in. So if you delete your account, supposedly, and all your photos by that time, then they won't have the photos. So
it's probably some mad backlash. That's what that probably
was. It looks like it. They got caught pretty much. But Instagram is now owned by Facebook, and Facebook also is going through the same kind of shit right now,
right?
You know, with this whole, like, do they own your property? Can they, you know?
Well, I think it's really important. I mean, if there's anything that function that groups like Anonymous serve, you know, that are, it's really important, is not just like political and governmental stuff, but shit like this to keep companies on their toes.
Right.
Like hackers, like just the threat of someone realizing that there's an imbalance and wanting to correct it. You know, that these really intelligent kids that are like, they're in Russia and shit from all sorts of places where you can't get them through 100 proxies. They will come down on you, man. They will come fuck you. And, you know, I think Instagram probably recognized that. I hope that's not what it was. I hope that there really was a misunderstanding in the first place. You never want to hear that a company's thinking about selling all your fucking pictures.
Well, you also have to think that a lot of times that this happens all the time. You sign up for a website, you know, and you upload something to their computers, they actually do pretty much own that, you know? It's
if you
look at it as basic as if you have your own website and it's a computer, you know, hooked up at your house, and you have your website on that computer, and then somebody's putting files on your computer. That's like, you know, a real basic version of, you know, what a Facebook is. They own all these computers. You're putting your information and your stuff, and you're putting it on their computer. They do pretty much own it. If they went out of business tomorrow and just turned off the lights, they could take all those computers and look at all your pictures and they own your pictures.
Right, but I think the real issue in this country is
money.
If you try to sell it.
Yeah. But it's the idea that you also don't really think, like, shit, every single text that I do back and forth between people on Facebook, or any photo that I have hidden in my inbox, or anything that I have private that, you know, no one can see except me, all that can be seen by somebody, and somebody can own that and take that. So if you, you know, ever say or do anything, they pretty much get to do whatever the fuck they want with it, except sell it, I guess is the big thing.
Yeah, I think the big thing, though, is to sell it, especially the using it for advertising. So as long as they're not going to do that, they will escape the wrath of the fucking Legion.
Yeah, but what if it's something like, you know, how this guy is talking today about, like, you know, we are not going to sell your stuff, you know. What if he's just also saying that as, the, you know, like a backlash thing, but in a way of, like, yeah, we're not going to sell it. We're going to get money to sponsor a company, and then we're just going to give them your photos, you know, or some, you know what I mean? Like they're doing some kind of back snaggle way where they're, you know, they're getting paid for it, but just it, not directly.
I guess that's possible, but I think you also have to think of, like, okay, what is this service worth and why am I getting it for free?
Yeah.
What am I giving them? I'm giving them a bunch of users. Well, a bunch of users ain't worth shit unless you can get something out of it. So what is it worth? Is it worth that they put a little ad in the corner of your picture when people go to look? I mean, like, where's the line that you draw? Because we're basically getting this free service where we get to upload these photos. And one of the things that you and I know about from doing this podcast is that bandwidth costs a lot of fucking money. If you're a company like Instagram, they must be dealing in insane gigabytes to run their servers.
That's why I don't understand how Instagram even became big. I know it's the filter thing. Everyone wants to see the filters, and like, oh, that's like, filters are so big right now.
That's what it is. It's girls pretending to look different than they look.
But then you have superior companies like Flickr, who I've been using for a long time, where you pay a little bit. I think it's like $40 a year, but you own everything. You don't have to worry about this Instagram shit like that. And, you know, when it comes to filters, half the apps that you have on your phone just make filters, and you just send it to Flickr. You know,
the thing about Instagram, though, is it became a phone thing, whereas Flickr was like a computer thing.
Right.
Instagram became a way of for people like to communicate, like Twitter style. Picture.
Right.
But I don't know why it became an entity on its own. Like, why didn't they just use TwitPic?
Yeah, I don't
any
get
of
that.
The built-in Twitter.
It's because
pictures.
Of the filters. I think it's just the app.
Yeah, those tricky bitches. They want to look like magenta hued. Yeah, they want to look like they're living in a dream.
And there's only like what 8 different filters, and you get like a app that like not, there's one called 100 Cameras, you know, where it has 100 different app filters, you know, and it's like 99 cents, and it just sends it to your Twitter, your TwitPic, or whatever.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them like that, right? That like connect with it.
Yeah.
It's probably better than Instagram, but I've got like 50,000 fucking people on my Instagram.
That's the problem.
Like, at this point in time, like, how many of those are not on my Twitter? Like, I can't abandon them.
Yeah, unless everybody abandons it because of this new policy shit.
Hmm.
I mean, if it stays how it originally was, where they do get to do whatever the fuck they want to, and they will, I probably will delete my account because I only went on Instagram because everyone told me to, and it's like, oh, it's so popular. And I'm like, yeah, I don't get it. You know, I use TwitPic. You know?
Remember Everlast told me I have to use it?
Yeah.
He came in and said that people have been mad that you don't use your Instagram. I was like, really? What's wrong with
you? I got a tweet a day almost about it.
Yeah, but you know what's going on now? For whatever fucking reason, even though I've updated it, my iPhone does not want to connect with the fucking Instagram. My iPhone is not interested in sending pictures through Instagram.
Really?
Because he's fucking smart. He knew this whole fucking thing was going to happen.
Yeah, my iPhone's
you can't blame your fucking iPhone. He's doing good.
I got a new iPhone, and it's like, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, fuck all
every
that
time
nonsense.
I try to send pictures through iPhone. I was trying to send this Instagram photo because I took a photo of Brad Pitt with Chanel number 5. Brad Pitt's got a fucking men's cologne commercial.
Does it smell good?
I don't know.
He's got
but I was trying to put on Twitter or on Instagram that if you buy this stinky shit, I hope nobody fucks you for the rest of your life. I was trying to put that out, which I thought would be nice and witty on my way home from the airport. And
you're anti-cologne all the way.
It's fucking gross, man.
I do one little spray of Timberlake before I leave every day.
That's confuses my animal nose.
I don't trust guys if they have cologne on. Do you know that? If I smell cologne on a guy,
yeah, but I put it mildly. He gets a good smell.
Timberlake, the fucking singer?
Yeah, here. You probably can't even smell it.
No,
here,
I don't want to smell nobody. Trust me, I'll fucking fart right on your leg. Don't come over here, you fuck. I don't want to smell no cologne.
Whatever, yeah, whatever you're stinking of, he just not. Come on, don't do that to him.
No, you can't smell it.
I can't
don't
smell
it. Don't do it, Joey. Don't do it. Don't let him.
No, I
don't
let
him.
Shit. Go away, cocksucker. Go away, cocksucker. Go away, cocksucker.
Is that Mitzi Shore?
Smell my chest.
Yeah, go away, cocksucker. I'll stab you with this coffee pick.
It was that Mitzi. Who are you
go
doing
away,
there?
Go away, cocksucker. That's Joey Diaz and Mitzi Shore.
I'll tweet you guys this picture later after the show's over.
One of the problems it might be, when was the last time you reset your phone? I noticed.
I did it twice.
Oh, really?
I did everything. I disconnected. I deleted Twitter. I deleted Instagram. I reinstalled both of them. It won't work.
Have you put in your password lately on Instagram? Maybe you have a wrong password in
there? No, it's all right. Everything's right. It's just not. It won't reach the server. It logs on Instagram, won't reach the server. Some wacky bullshit.
Are you on the Verizon network?
You know what it is? It understands that I like my Samsung Galaxy S3 a little bit better. My Samsung Galaxy S3 from Ting Mobile. Like it a little better.
Do you really?
I like this wacky fucking phone. How about that? Huh?
That's crazy talk.
It's not crazy talk, man.
You don't like your iPhone, Doug?
I like the Samsung Galaxy S3 better. I think that fucking big screen.
But how's that camera compare to that iPhone?
Badass.
iPhone. Oh, you like the Samsung better?
You can't. They're both awesome. The Samsung Galaxy S3 is a sick
I saw
sick
Red
camera.
Band's fucking iPhone camera.
You should see the
That's
S3.
A Showtime special.
You know what else it does? You know what else the S3 does? I can take a burst of photos. You could jump up in the air, and I'll take a burst of photos. It'll up and down. It takes like a shitload.
And this is on the Verizon network, correct?
I think you can get it on Verizon. I know you can get it on Sprint.
Because
we have it on Ting, which is on Sprint. And I know you can get it on AT&T, too. It's fucking wicked. Those big screens are wicked. It's good. And like everything else it does, it's good enough. How much shit do you need? How many apps do you need? God damn it. Except Bladeslinger from Garrison Games coming out in January on the Android application. I listened to some Pablo Francisco on the other day.
What are you doing with this Brad Pitt commercial? You really playing a Brad Pitt commercial, you fuck?
It's not a journey. Every journey ends, but we go on.
I'd let him fuck me.
The world turns and we turn with it.
What? You're too deep.
You're too deep. Plans disappear.
Put it in my mouth.
Dreams take over.
Oh.
But wherever I go, there you are.
I bet his kiss is salty.
My luck, my fate, my fortune. Chanel number 5.
Whoa, no you didn't, Brad. Brad.
Inevitable.
God.
Brad. There's not enough money in the world for that, Brad. Who's your fucking agent? You could have cut it off before you said Chanel number 5. You would have been okay. You would have been okay as long as you
then
didn't mention
the name.
Then why
give that whole preamble? Why give me the fucking ear beating if you're not going to say Chanel number 5? The ear beating comes with Chanel number 5.
No. He has to end it and let someone else, like Morgan Freeman, say Chanel number 5. Someone else says the Chanel number 5. Someone unrelated to that really corny fucking speech.
It's not a walk. Every walk ends, but we go on. The stick flies and we chase after it. Training disappears. Instincts take over.
Do not change this channel.
But wherever I fetch, there you are. My wag. My treat. My belly rub. Kennel number 5.
That's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. Adorable. That was a joke one. Meanwhile, by the way, less pretentious.
Jesus,
less pretentious than the Brad Pitt one.
Yeah, right.
It was, wasn't it? Wasn't it less pretentious?
I would
rather go back to the Brad Pitt one. Let's examine this because this is one of the most preposterous commercials I've seen since the baby Just for Men commercial where the baby drives a Porsche.
Every journey ends, but we go on. The world turns and we turn with it. Plans disappear. Dreams take over. But wherever I go, there you are. My luck, my fate, my fortune. Chanel number 5.
Damn.
I guess
inevitable.
I guess there's more of them.
Like, we gotta find more of them because I'll never listen to a word that motherfucker says ever again. Unless they gave all of that money to pregnant babies in Africa. Unless all 100% of that money went to the pregnant babies. What's that?
What is it, fuck with Brad Pitt Day today?
No, just that commercial. I just saw the picture of him with Chanel number 5, and I just was going to tweet something silly about it. But I didn't know that there was a whole goddamn advertising campaign that has the most preposterous ads ever. Here we go.
But we go on.
Wait, hold on.
The world turns. It's not a journey. Every journey ends.
That's the same
but
thing.
But we go on. The world turns, and we turn with it. Plans disappear. Dreams take over. But wherever I go, there you are. My luck, my fate, my fortune. Chanel number 5.
It's not. Stop. There's not enough pussy in the world to get me to talk like that ever. I just want you to know. There's not enough money. There's not enough. You couldn't stack
already,
it high enough. I'd be like, stop it. I can't say that.
He's already got pussy.
That's why it doesn't make any sense.
This is the chick from Avatar. They got her in a basement. She's got. They just brought her over. They're going to suck his dick.
the big blue fish with the crazy eyes.
Oh, you think I'm thinking. Navi. She's going to suck his fucking yank tonight? What are you fucking nuts?
Wherever I go, you're good.
What do you think they gave this on?
The world turns. We turn with it.
Right?
What?
10 mil?
Why did you write that down? Why did you even write that down?
Me?
The guy who wrote it. The world turns and you turn with it. What? Come on, stop it. You breathe in, you breathe out. You step left, you step right. You open the door, then you shut it. You get in your car, you drive, then you hit the brakes. Like, what the fuck wrote this? That is like some of the most preposterous, silly horse shit I've ever heard. And it's not coming out of a struggling actor, okay? If you're a struggling actor and, you know, and someone comes up to you and they give you a break and it's to do this crazy, corny Chanel number 5 commercial, that wasn't a struggling actor. That's a motherfucking multimillionaire. We need to find out where that money went. It might go to pregnant babies. If it goes to pregnant, starving babies with AIDS, we'll let him slide.
He just paid a fucking village off, though.
Did he buy a village?
I wonder. I just asked. What do you think he got for that? A mil?
You'd have to give him like something like that, right? He's goddamn Brad Pitt. He's got to. I mean, if I was Brad Pitt's agent, I mean, he's Brad motherfucking Pitt.
Now,
right?
Supposedly, he has big commercials overseas. Like,
Oh yeah, that's they do them in Japan and
yeah,
shit.
Japan
a lot of them.
Shit. That's where
a lot of American celebrities feel like you can't. You're not supposed to do a commercial because if you do a commercial, like a you know, if you like, if you're a movie star, what are you watching? What is this?
Brad Pitt, Brad Japanese Pitt? Commercial.
Oh my god, he's pushing a car.
He's dressed up like a goofball.
Yeah, he's dressed up weird.
Like Jim Carrey style almost.
Yeah,
like
and he's,
Forrest Gump.
He's moving like Charlie Chaplin. Yeah, what kind of character is this? See, that's fine. That's just him moving around and taking a picture. I don't have any problem with that. I got a problem when you're staring at the camera, talking about the world turns, and you turn with it. I touch my tongue to yours, and we melt together.
Joey Diaz.
That's not Joey Diaz. That looks like Joey Diaz fucked Big Pussy in Japan. Yeah. See, these are great because he's not talking English. He doesn't say anything. He's just playing a character. These might as well be, I mean, he might as well be in a movie. Look, he's very clever about the way he did this. Like the first one, he's clearly acting. He's got a weird, crazy, kooky yellow outfit on. And in this one, he's playing a role. And he's pretending to pick this giant fucking sumo guy up. That shit is impossible, I want you to know. Because Joey Diaz is not as big as that guy, but I'm probably stronger than Brad Pitt, and I tried to pick Joey up once when he was seated, and it was no dice. I went double underhooks on Joey's back, and I got a gable grip. It wasn't happening, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty, even the big guy from Pride couldn't pick me up over his head.
Really? Bob Sapp?
Bob Sapp. It was one of the most uncomfortable things for everybody.
How high did he get you up there?
He was having a hard time. I was really like top heavy or something. I was fucking with his
Did you see this commercial, Joe?
Bob was never.
For years, people would push computers on me or whatnot, cell phones, all that stuff. My friend said, listen, go to GoDaddy.com. I went over to GoDaddy.com. I didn't know about computers. I didn't know about social networks. I knew none. I went to GoDaddy. They had a web builder. 1, 2, 3, boom. Step by step, they're with you right away. Once you do it, poof, within minutes, your web page is up. I didn't have that online presence. People would have had a call here like it was still 1969. But ever since I got GoDaddy, I get PayPal, I take Visa online, they got the open table, not to mention my Yelp reviews are great. Frank's Pizza is number one. Go to Frank's, the service is exceptional. Frank's delivery system is always on time and the pizza is always warm. If you want to build your empire like me, start with GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy, what's happening? Nothing. I'm just calling you to see what's cracking. Have a good day.
That's beautiful.
That's hilarious.
That's how much of that did you write? 80% of it?
Come on, dog.
And you had no idea what you were talking about.
What? No, I had no idea.
Did they just give you like a rough thing
when
of how
I
much?
I got to that morning, they said, do you know the points for this thing? And I go, no, I didn't get the thing. And they go, these are the points you got to say. And it was in between like shooting.
Uh-huh.
Like it was in between shooting. Like in between, like they came over and go, ready?
Right.
Let's pick it up from the other thing. And I had to go back and pick up PayPal, pick up that, the tanning booth. Like, that was just fucking quick, man. That was fucking crazy that morning. That was quick.
Yeah, that seems like that's a great utilization of you. Like, give him the points and let him rant a little bit.
Why fuck around? I didn't curse.
He ain't Brad Pitt. He doesn't have to say, breathe in,
breathe in
and breathe out.
Never
the world
again.
Turns yeah. And you turn with it.
That's the first time I ever saw Brad Pitt in a commercial, or am I hallucinating?
No, that's, I think he sold his soul down the river. I think,
how many kids he got?
He's got a lot of kids. He's got a lot of
houses.
And he's been done a lot of shit movies lately, and Angelina's been pulling all the weight. When was the last time Brad was in a big hit?
Moneyball.
Was that a big hit?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. The baseball movie? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm wrong. So how much money do you think he made from that? Enough for 80 kids and.
Got to give him 20 just to talk to him.
20? This is what they get for a movie?
Got to give him 20 just to talk to him. Just to
maybe that's not enough. The way they're balling and fucking, they, you know, Gucci clothes for little babies and shit.
$20 million a movie, he does 3 a year. That's 60. She does the same. That's $120. 10 of these. That's some fucking cash, dog.
Yeah,
ain't fucking around.
I wonder how much they're giving him for the movies.
money.
These commercials.
Fuck. For a whole campaign, he's going to shoot 5 or 6 of them, clothes, cologne.
If he got together with his silly black and white commercial and they overlapped it with Stephen Dorff's silly black and white commercial.
CGI'd them together.
If they just spliced it back and forth, you went from one douchey statement to the other. I think that would be, listen, Mischief Maker, we know you're out there. Okay, we're calling you. We're setting the freak flag up over the Rogan compound. We need you to put together the possibly douchiest commercials of all time together.
With the song Kiss Me in the background.
Yes. Listen, man, we don't want to fuck with your artistic integrity by giving you a suggestion that you haven't. But, Brandon, you know what to do. You know to do the right thing. Go make that video.
This fucking guy was very good in Moneyball, Joe.
I bet he's a great actor. He was great in An Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, I
loved him in that. I loved him in a lot of movies. He was great in Fight Club. I'm just bullshitting, but I just wish he didn't do that fucking commercial. I mean, that just seems like so whorish. You know, I should talk. You know, I did Fear Factor for 6 years, then I went back and did it again. But even I wouldn't do that Chanel commercial.
Sure you would.
I don't think so.
At this point, what the? You come on. How you doing? I'm Joe Rogan from the UFC. You know, Fear in the Ring.
You should smell really stinky.
This is the new UFC Chanel edition.
First of all, I could never do it because it's been widely... I've said it 100 times in the podcast that I hate all that stuff. I don't like any form of cologne. I wear a deodorant because if I don't, I smell really bad. I smell like meat.
Sicilian.
Like old meat.
You smell Sicilian.
My underarms. That's and I'm not willing to shave my underarms.
Shit and all that fucking arugula.
Plus, you know what, folks? I get through life... I exude a lot of energy. You know what I'm saying? I don't half-ass things. So I'm putting forth effort all day. And when you're putting forth effort all day,
you're
grinding and sweating and shit is going down inside your body. And when it comes out your armpits, it smells horrible. So I'll wear a little deodorant. So if you smell me and you're like, what a hypocrite. It's wearing some fucking cologne. I'm not. That's just Old Spice. That's what I prefer. Old Spice Sport. Not antiperspirant, because I'm not trying to stop sweating. I like sweating.
I'm not going to bullshit you. Sweat I do have a good. Little baby CK1 at the house.
CK1.
Whatever the fuck it is. Love it. Whatever the fuck it is. Just in case I got reefer on me and I got a suit on or something. And I don't want, I'll put a little dab on my neck.
What is this one? What is this commercial? What the fuck is going on here?
Try to be discreet.
And I am being discreet.
What is this? What's this for?
Brother's about to show you how to save Christmas.
Oh, this is that thing that you did with Dean Cain?
This is the latest one. Yeah, this is the one for this year called The Dog Who Saved the Holidays.
Gary Valentine.
Gary Valentine.
Lisa Donovan.
Like it.
Michael Gross.
I'm shaking in my crop.
Shelley Long.
I thought a date with a fuse box.
Peyton List is Eve.
Lighten up a bit.
Joey Lawrence. Hey, that's me, as Zeus. I think I'm going to need a little backup on this one.
I should get the top billing on this.
Yeah, what is that? You can't even get top billing or Shelley Long?
You fucking believe this shit? 1994.
What the fuck, man?
This fucking day and age is what I
respect.
Need.
Did you get billing at all? Did they even mention your name?
Oh, that's my fucking, yeah. I get like, they treat me like a fucking Puerto Rican on the sport. Fuck.
Did you like working with Dean Cain?
Yeah, I did like five fucking movies of those things.
Did you hang out with Michael Gross and molest Joey Lawrence?
No, I didn't bother nobody. I keep it myself.
Michael Gross is one of those guys that's been in a bunch of movies and is a really good actor. Like you, and then you see him in that and you go, oh, that's what that guy's name is. I've seen that guy in a bunch of things. That guy's good.
Ties.
You know what I watched today, man? I started recording it here on the studio. Some Walker, Texas Ranger. Tremendous. Oh, my goodness. It's fucking good.
Good shit.
It's so funny. I want to play a little bit of it for you because it's so ridiculous. I recorded it on the DVR. I forgot how good that show is. That show is like might as well be a comic book that was written in 1950. You know what I mean?
Where he'd walk up on people.
Everything.
the acting.
Oh, his sidekick was horrendously
bad. He gets in a fight in this bad guy's office, and the two bad guys' henchmen tried to close in on him. And he's in a little crow's environment, but he's throwing like mad karate kicks and shit. Chuck Norris don't play games. He's throwing wheel kicks and shit. Right off the bat, he just throws wheel kicks with cowboy boots on and shit. Anyway, knocks this guy out, and then goes up to him, grabs him, you know, and starts questioning him. And the acting that came out of this meathead that was lying down on the ground, it might be the worst acting ever recorded on film and put on television. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a great show. Those shows, like, you watch those shows and you wonder what they were really doing.
You're up to Red Bank. You're torturing me, aren't you?
What's going on?
Joey, what's that show? What's your character's name in that Nickelodeon show? Joey Lasagna?
What are you pulling up?
Meatballs.
Joey Meatballs.
Something like that. Not Joey Meatballs, the Meatball King.
Meatball King. It's so funny seeing Joey now out in public, and like people come up like, can you sign this for my daughter? And you're like, what the fuck is that? And then you realize that he's known for this character called Joey Meatballs.
And what show is this on?
Kicking It.
Yeah, Kicking It.
What is Kicking It?
It's a show on Disney XD.
Now, what if these people ever see you on stage or listen to one of these fucking podcasts?
No. The funny thing is that these Kicking It's... The funny thing is that all these shows, to advertise them, they're put on there by the networks. Nickelodeon knows that if they're going to put out a trailer on a commercial, it's a lot cheaper to put the trailer on YouTube. Right. The kids will know that they're coming up and they'll hit it.
Yeah.
There's thousands of hits on these trailers for Kicking It, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to the trailer that I'm on, and you got to see what it says. If you ain't high by 2 o'clock, go fuck your mother. Lucy Snorbush, I want to eat your pussy on Quaaludes. You got to see, like, the one for, like,
pull up the comments, Brian. What is this one?
That's the name.
Glad to see you came to your senses.
This is
you what? Want my money?
What is this?
You got my goat.
This is Kicking It.
Right there. Jerry. Shouldn't you be making a delivery?
I'm done with deliveries. When I took a job with you, I didn't know what kind of person you were.
Whoa.
But I do now.
What are you doing here with Goat Boy?
Goat Boy's a friend of mine. In fact, he's got lots of friends. Some you might even know.
Stop. Oh, yeah? Stop before I get retarded. that might turn me dumber than I am.
That's worse than Walker, Texas Ranger. You know,
listen, we're going to have to compare. We're going to have to compare that to Walker, Texas Ranger, because I'm telling you, they're pretty damn close.
I love it.
You cocksucker.
I owe you one, cocksucker.
Yeah. That was not
so
good.
Funny.
That was not good.
Could you imagine if he was really like fighting with these kids?
No, you know what the worst thing is? When you first come to Hollywood and you meet somebody like that, that's somebody that's been in one of these really horrible shows and they make you watch it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's on their reel and you try to go to their house. And
have you ever had that happen?
Oh, please.
Oh, it's the worst,
it's
man.
It's embarrassing. When people email you shit still. I still get shit. On Facebook and Twitter, so watch my reel and tell me what you think. Why would you ask a guy like me at 5 in the morning who's fucking stoned? Red Beanie, you going back to Columbus for the holidays?
No, but I'm going back in March with Joe Rogan and
look at this shit. Ari look at this shit, Joey. Turn around and look at this. Turn around. show this on TV because we don't have the rights for it.
That's Adam Ferreira.
It's Chuck Norris. It's hilarious. No, watch this one dude, though. This is my favorite. After he smashes this guy, now the big guy grabs him. Now watch this move. Kick off the wall. Boom, throw him down. Now check this Anderson Silva-like elbow. Now watch this acting. This is the worst acting ever.
Now I'm going to ask you again. Do you know this girl?
I don't know. I told you what I told the other guys.
What guys?
They didn't give their names.
You told them something you're not telling me. I'll be back.
Chuck is excellent. How bad is the goon? And he's just out. He's just out again. And then there's some kids that he has to hug. That's what he does. Saves the world and hugs some kids. Fucking show's great. Especially when you're as high as the national deficit.
Let me tell you something. The other day I was cleaning out my fucking room and I found a package for 18 Wheels of Justice.
That was another show, right?
The first show I ever shot.
That was Lorenzo Lamas, right?
Yes, or one of those fucking actors down and whatever. I forgot all about it. 18 Wheels of Justice was the first booking. I remember before I went in, they told me the lady's a fucking old lady. She'll torture you. I went in there and booked the bookie role where I had to smack a fucking playmate in the ass as she walks out of the room.
18 Wheels of Justice. It was in 2000.
Man. Yeah. I shot one of those episodes in San Diego. I remember they gave me $60 for per diem. Oh, my God. I didn't eat nothing. I saved it to do a grandma blow.
Oh, it wasn't Lorenzo Lawrence.
No, it was some other handsome
Lucky
white
Van
dude.
Lucky Vanoose? Is that his name?
Oh, my God. See what else he shot since then.
Lucky Vanoose?
He's fucking working in the Tampa Revival Group right now. Reviving fucking Godspell.
This guy was the head guy in the show, and they don't even have a photo of him on IMDb. Is this it? That's G. Gordon Liddy, man. Oh, they blew up a house.
Is forced to live on the road as Chance Bowman. Yeah, that's it. There you go. Address, a million miles of highway.
His only wish, like more than. Oh God, that looked like the worst show of all time.
Wheels of Justice.
And he was like trying to like.
And you know what network that was, guys?
What?
Spike, which was TNN at the time.
Oh, that's right. It was the national.
Guys, that was when they tried to do original programming. That was it. That was her. Yep. There you go.
That's a good idea. If you have a show called the Nashville Network and you're like, listen, this is what we got. We got a lot of truckers. A lot of truckers watch. How about a trucker superhero? How about a trucker superhero that is just an ordinary guy that's just backed into extraordinary circumstances and he's forced to, you know, man up and pull himself up by his bootstraps and become a reluctant hero. I mean, I think it's basically BJ the Bear but no Chimp. It's one of the best shows of all time, BJ and the Bear. Remember back when BJ and the Bear was on and we thought chimps were like these little cute things that you could hug before they started eating people's faces and biting their dicks off and shit? You never heard about that when we were kids. You never heard about a chimp biting people's faces off.
Maybe they're on Adderall too. Yeah, that's the fucking problem.
Well, wasn't that one lady that lived in Connecticut that had the pet chimp, she was feeding that fucking chimp Xanax. She was feeding it Xanax and it was drinking wine. Yeah. The bitch was taking Xanax. So she would, hey, the chimp wants a Xanax too. Give him a fucking Xanax. Give him a Xanax. He's going to eat your face. Give him a fucking Xanax. That probably is why he ate that chick's face. He was probably coming down from Xanaxes.
He's all Xanaxed up. He's all Xanaxed out, red man.
poor chimp.
Did you eat an edible today, Joey?
Something happened.
No, what?
He kicked in about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Joey hit the wall. What? We call it the Eddie Bravo post 1 hour wall.
What? Why? What happened? I didn't hit no fucking wall.
Eddie Bravo goes guns blazing for the first hour of podcast.
No, and then
an hour in, he goes, so what? Anything?
No. I'm waiting on you fucking guys. I'm a counter. He's sprinting. I'm a counter striker.
Eddie Bravo, ladies and gentlemen, for Eddie Bravo fans, which of course we all are Eddie Bravo fans. Eddie's the shit. He's got his own podcast that he just started doing called Eddie Bravo Radio. And if you are down with chemtrails, that is the podcast for you. If you want to hear more about Philip Corso and UFOs and jujitsu and MMA and crop circles and chemtrails
and music.
And music.
Kiss. Fuck
powerful.
The whole thing.
Kiss, knowledge.
Eddie Bravo, Smoke Sunday Serpent. Nights.
And he does it with Alder and Zach and Rob, all these guys that we train jujitsu with. I don't know if he's going to do it with them every episode or if he's just doing it like that for now. But Eddie Bravo Radio, if you're down. And if you're not, don't get cunty.
Joey,
okay? Settle the fuck down. That's my brother.
Do you remember this website, Joey?
Joey Diaz. Yes, I do.
Yeah, hey, I'm Joey Diaz here.
Wayback Machine.
Yeah. Where did you find that?
Look, you got an Ice House banner.
No, Latino comedy. I
want
to see who. There was a chick on there that sent me a message on there. I want to see if it's still on there.
Who put? don't show it online. Oh, you remembered me, Joey.
Yeah. Is that online still? This thing?
Yeah, it's in the Internet Archive. So here's a picture of Pablo from back in the day that you probably forgot about.
Yeah.
That's what I was just saying. That I was listening to Pablo on the way over here. They had it was on Jamie Foxx's thing, the Foxhole, the same one where he's interviewing Quentin Tarantino, and I was listening to Pablo, and Pablo is so fucking entertaining. That dude did nothing but Jackie Chan like trailer like jokes, you know, like he's the nicest guy in the world, you know, like I'm so nice, why you have to fight me, like, and it was. He just did nothing but that for 10 minutes, and I'm just laughing like a fool in my car, giggling on the way up here. What are you doing, Brian? You're distracting the shit out of him with all this.
Look at old Jerry, I don't fucking know.
He's
staring at magic tricks.
Nah.
Yeah, you're definitely on an edible.
Nah. I got stoned as fuck from the... Bro, I haven't been smoking weed from the solid sense. So I got high as
from the solid sense? What does that mean?
Smoking the vapors.
That vaporizer is very good, but it's not as good as smoking weed.
No. That's what I'm saying.
It's pretty good. It's pretty close.
It gets you going in the morning, but...
I think it's the right amount before you go on stage.
Yeah, that's the right amount. You have to switch up the capsules because you're used to it. So you got to have a sativa. And I got to do that when I smoke weed anyway. I do the same thing.
You always mix the same weed up the whole fucking day.
We're
different like that, though. I don't mind smoking the same weed all the time. I can smoke the same weed for like 6 months.
No. I never understood how somebody bought a pound of weed. Every time you went out, you got the same fucking weed. You're killing me, that guy.
Switch this bitch up. I think you and I do very different things with the weed.
No. Even if you smoke it, like some mornings you want to smoke a sativa. Some mornings, you know, you want the sativas. I love sativas.
But how high are you getting? Are you getting like stupid high?
In the mornings anymore? Yeah. No, not like I used to know. Not like this.
So when you were switching them up.
Listen, bro, when I was waking up and smoking Matt's OG at 4:45 in the a.m., by 5:30, you're drooling. That indica sativa fucking grind together. I'd get out, jump in a pool. You got to do something. You got to get on a bicycle. It's like that shit that Lance Armstrong, AMD, what were they shooting in their legs? That they got to get up at 3 in the fucking morning and pedal their fucking thing.
Yeah, EPO.
Same thing. I was getting that type of reaction from the weed, which I love. I love getting high and having the sudden urge to go hit the bag for 30 minutes or throw kicks. I like that, where 15 minutes in, you're like, oh, my God, I'm 15 minutes in.
Right.
Boy, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it feels good to move your body around.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that comes with weed when you get that full body high,
yes,
and a lot of, like, deep indicas, you know, you get that, like, real sensitivity to, like, all of your body, like, all the different aspects of your body, all the different, you know, muscle fibers and shit. You feel them moving around and shit, stretching.
I've done everything pretty much. I've tried pretty much. I want to live in Colorado. I've tried, you know, climbing a wall and everything. The easiest two things I've done high, which I really enjoy, number one on the list is yoga.
Yoga's amazing.
It's amazing, really high to the gills. On an edible, it's better because you get more energy in your lungs to hold the poses and shit like that, especially if you eat like a cookie.
Right.
But who's going to go to 6 a.m. yoga? You got to get up at 3:30 to eat a fucking edible. You're a savage.
You know what they say the best thing with yoga is? The real aficionados, eating hashish.
Hashish, yeah, a little eating hash cookie or something.
Eat hashish, and then an hour and 20 minutes later, you do the yoga.
When Bruce Lee died, what was in his system, THC or hashish?
Neither one. I mean, I'm sure he had some stuff in his system,
right,
but he died from a cerebral
edema. I understand. I have nothing with the cause. He died from the fucking Yakuza and the fucking Chinese.
You think so?
Because they
killed him?
He stopped making money, but...
You think so?
Yeah, once he went over to Warner Brothers, how are they going to cleanse their money?
Is that like the conspiracy theory? Is that the main theory?
Look, he made three movies over there. He made four movies over there.
Right.
Then he came over, he went to do Enter the Dragon, then he went back to release the movie and he died or something.
So you think they whacked him?
I don't know what happened, but I know those movies have made gazillions. Like, they look at all these people. Oh, they made this movie for this. What do you think it cost to make Fist of Fury in the Philippines?
$50.
How many millions do you think they've made since then?
It's probably
millions. You know what's crazy? If you look
millions
at,
and millions.
If you look up, what was the producer on those movies he did? Ren Chow?
I don't know.
Raymond Chow was the producer on all those movies.
Look at that picture.
After 1973. I want you to look at how many movies.
Do you know where this is?
I know where
that picture was from?
Yeah.
Do you know where I do? Do you know where it's from, Joey?
Where? Oh, that's from Florida.
Austin, motherfucking Texas.
Yep.
That one place that we always stay at?
Yeah.
Across the street from that other place.
If you
look and see after Bruce Lee died in 73, how many movies Raymond Chow produced in the U.S.? Take a look.
How many?
Go take a fucking look. Don't ask me.
Well, there was a big market for those Bruce Lee movies.
No, this was not Bruce Lee. He directed Death Hunt with Charles Bronson.
Oh,
how the
really?
Fuck is Raymond Chow a director on a Charles Bronson movie, a producer? Go ahead.
I don't know. How was it?
Go ahead. I don't know. You tell me.
Is that
me.
A conspiracy? I don't know what's going on here.
You tell me. Raymond Chow had his own fucking company.
So,
which is called whatever movies, the movies that fucking did.
Joey Diaz is the
No, I'm not. I'm not nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm just telling you.
He's the Alex Jones of the Chinese kung fu movies.
What you motherfuckers forget that you guys were here for the cell phone. You guys were here for this. I was here.
United States government killed Bruce Lee.
It wasn't no fucking government. I was here for the Bruce Lee invasion. A lot of people were here for the Beatles invasion, not me. I was here for the I was here when everybody was walking around with Chinese shoes.
So Raymond Chow with known CFI times.
No, Raymond Chow.
He's executive producer of like every single movie in the world.
Okay, yeah, after 73 or before 73? United States.
Let's look at all those movies, and how many of those movies do you think he got to fuck white girls in? How many where they brought white chicks to him?
Wow.
And he just had mad white chick orgies.
Now, before 73, he was Enter the Dragon. What else?
Look at all those goddamn movies. That's the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Ever.
That guy directed 100 fucking movies. What are the actual numbers, Brian? How many movies did he actually direct? Does it say?
160 he produced.
Holy shit. But you could like be producing a couple of different movies at a time. You can't really. Can you really?
Oh, go down again. Look at that. He produced. Keep going slowly. You fuck. All right, but keep going up. Keep going up. Up. The other way. The other way. Up. Slow down.
The Brig Brawl.
Game of Death 2.
That was the worst one
Cannonball
ever.
Cannonball Run. Look at these movies this motherfucker did.
He did Brought Cannonball Run.
Look at this shit. Breakthrough. Look at this. Keep going.
What's Breakthrough?
Who the fuck knows? Cannonball Run 2. Meals on Meals. Look at this shit.
He did the Cannonball Run 1 and 2.
Above the Law with Steven
Seagal. Oh, wow.
That motherfucker.
He did every Police Story 2. He did everything. Above the law. A lot of Chinese movies, huh?
Yeah, that's where the...
Teenage Mutant
Ninja Turtles 2!
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 and Once Upon a Time in China.
He just muscled himself into those movies. Wow. They just bring them to him. Would you mind being this? Look at this. Sun Waku, everything.
Is he single?
Brian, you got to stop with that dumb fake gay voice. That's ruining your internet rep.
That's not a gay voice.
You're doing so well, and then you do that, and everybody goes, God damn it.
That's not a gay voice.
Stop it. You know what it is.
It's a vegan voice.
Shut your mouth. Oh, how dare you. How dare you. Shit, Joey Diaz. So what's next, Joey?
You know me, baby. You know what's fucking next?
Friday night.
The 21st, 8 o'clock, we'll turn motherfucking theater. I'm eating the first edible like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm timing it all perfectly. I'm doing MGMH at 4.
What's MGMH?
I don't know. You can go promo, mixed bath with salts. Fucking mushrooms, bath salts, bazookas. I'm doing everything.
We want to extend a formal invitation to John McAfee. If you are free in the United States, we have 2 tickets for you for the Will Turn Theater. You'll sit right next to Brian Redband. And his date for the evening.
Who are you bringing, Brian?
Bath salts at the Wiltern. Please, folks, it's the end of the world. We can go bath salt free for one night. Shall we? Keep it together. Joe Diaz, Doug Stanhope, Honey, and me. And Doug Stanhope will be on the podcast on Saturday, the day after the end of the world. If there is a world to return to, we would do the Doug Stanhope podcast Saturday afternoon. You dirty fucks. All right, folks? Oh, my special's out. It's out right now. So if you're inclined, if you go to joerogan.net, it's called Live from the Tabernacle. I think it's my best one yet.
Is it going
to
be on iTunes also so I can maybe just eventually. Download it through iTunes?
Maybe eventually. But right now it's just through my website for probably the longest time, maybe like a year or two, for the rest of my life.
But it's an unprotected file, so you can just move it onto like a computer and stream it.
Yeah, yeah. It's what is it called? DRM free?
Yeah,
is that what it's called? No. It's the same way Louis C.K. did it. I completely stole everything he did.
Right. And if you have an Apple TV, all you do is you open it up in iTunes, and on the top right-hand button, you could send it to your Apple TV. So
yeah,
you could stream it. There's a lot of ways you can stream it, though.
Yeah, there's all sorts of ways you could watch it on your television. I'm not the most technologically inclined, but we tried to make it as easy as possible, and the feedback has been amazing. So thank you very much. I'm real excited that so many people decided to download it.
Congratulations, Doug.
Thanks, man. I'm very happy. You know, like I think what Louis did was really important for us, for stand-up comedians. You know, his idea was perfect. It was brilliant. The amount of money was the right amount of money. $5 is, I mean, he could have made it 10, and probably the same amount of people would buy it. But 5 is like really like honest. It's like, you know, you're getting a recording of the live performance. You're not getting the live performance itself. You're getting the recording. It's worth $5. You know
the best thing that you're doing also is the ability to send it as a gift.
Yeah.
So, like, I've already sent it to a few people. Like, you just put their email address, and then you pretty much buy it and then just send it to them. They get download instructions, so, like, you can send it to your friends or families.
Yeah, we wanted to have it set up like that. We wanted to have it so that you could send it to people if you dug it. People love sending people, like a lot of people send me music. Like, that's how we found out about Honey Honey. That's how I constantly hear about new bands. That's how I found out about Roadkill Ghost Choir. Somebody sent it to me. I love that. And people love doing that with comics, too. And so if you want to send mine, you can do that. You can gift it.
Yeah.
And Joe, when's the next thing that people can see of you? What's the next?
January 17th at the Irvine Improv after the birth of my fucking daughter, the next couple of weeks. So I'm just at home chilling, writing. Kickboxing, lifting weights. I'm trying to do everything.
What day is January 17th?
It's a Thursday night.
Thursday night. So that's the next time. And when are you going to release something live?
I have no fucking idea.
Let's do that. Can I produce that?
Sure.
How about we'll do that? How about the next thing that I do through Talking Monkey Incorporated?
Done.
We'll just produce your shit and release it the same way.
Done.
Okay.
On your webpage?
Yeah, or yours or whatever. We'll make set yours up the same way.
Same fucking thing.
Okay, let's do it.
JoinMeatballs.com.
Let's do it. Yeah, we'll put together, you know, a time where we can, you know, record you at some club. And I think for you, what would really be badass, one of the cool ways to do it with you is to take you from the fucking green room, like one camera, from the green room all the way out to the stage, follow you through the whole thing. Just one crazy wild fucking take.
And then you sneak out the back door.
Yeah. Do four shows.
Done.
Pick the one you like the best. Release the hounds.
Done.
Because, right. You know, I get these emails from people all the time. When is Joey Coco Diaz going to have some kind of comedy special?
As long as you're on, let's do it. I always want to do it. We're Talking Monkey, Dead Squad, motherfucking records in full effect.
Hey, and we're going to be at the Improv Thursday.
Thursday night.
We're going to be
there
Thursday night.
I'm going to be at the Improv tonight with Ari at the Storyteller Show with Greg Fitzsimmons.
Oh, cool.
And
ooh.
A couple people come on by and see Greg.
Yeah, it's
Thursday
only,
night.
It's only $5.
$5. Yeah. Goes to charity.
And it's really fun. That's a really fun time.
And Thursday night, we're there with you at 8 o'clock, correct?
Yeah, 8 o'clock, ThursdayImprov.com. It's the Hollywood Improv.
And the 17th of January in Irvine. By that time, you'll have your first check. Everything will be beautiful. You're ready to get the
hopefully, or the aliens will have landed and money will be worthless.
Fuck Apocalyptos. Fuck Mel Gibson.
Brian
fuck
and
millions.
I are already wearing our NASA outfits.
That's right.
Because we are volunteering for Volunteer NASA. Because there will be a Volunteer NASA in the future, just like Volunteer Fire Department.
I'm just doing it because I want to trick Kara Santa Maria to think that I'm
you're
in
smart.
NASA. Yeah.
Yeah. Good move. I like what you're doing. I think it'll work. I think as long as you make the effort to try to trick her, she'll just play along. And then you're golden. And then it's like your whole life is like a fantasy role-playing game.
That's kind of cool.
You pretend you're the super scientist in NASA. And even though you're just leaving our house, you're telling them you have to go to the moon.
Dude, that's a great idea. I'll print out like fake NASA documents and I would carry them around all the time on a clipboard.
It reminds me of a Robin Harris bit. Robin Harris is one of the lost comics that nobody ever talks about. And D.L. Hughley sort of was influenced by him quite a lot, like especially like early in D.L.'s career. You too? Robin Harris is really, really funny. But one of the things he had a great joke about, he said, man, everybody ain't no pretty woman. He goes, pretty woman, man, too much work. He goes, ugly woman, you could tell her anything. Bitch, I'm going to the moon. Bitch, you better be careful. I don't want nothing to happen to you up there. And he was like so like casual in his delivery and like relaxed, and he just made you smile just looking at him.
He was sweet Dick Willie and do the right fucking thing.
Yeah,
and he was tremendous. As who else would have a character named Sweet Dick Willie?
Yeah, ugly woman, you tell her anything, bitch. I'm going to the moon. I'll never forget listening to that, man. Yeah, I think there's a special called Bebe's Kids.
Bebe's Kids.
Yeah, I think you could. I don't know if you can watch it, but you could definitely listen to it. I used to listen to that shit on cassette, okay? I had that thing on fucking cassette. I used to listen to that in my Volkswagen Corrado. I would drive around and listen to Joey Diaz, you're yawning.
I'm always yawning, brother.
What's the matter, man? You not getting any sleep? Are you nervous?
No, I was up at, I was up at 4:30.
Are you up with the sun and gone with the wind?
Yeah. I went to bed early last night and got up early.
Yeah?
Just, Yeah.
You're always up, man. I text you at 6 o'clock in the morning. You text me back.
Yeah, I was ready to rock at 6.
Yeah, I sent you a text.
Fucking 8 o'clock this morning. I remember going to the kitchen, making a protein shake, and fucking going, wow, it's 8 o'clock, and I've already done 30 fucking things.
That's Robin Harris right there.
Yeah, right there. Like, I didn't leave the house, but I had already done 30 fucking things in the house. Showered, breakfast, protein shake, emails, phone calls, the whole fucking deal. Reefer.
Have you thought about moving to the suburbs where all people raise their babies? You going to stay in the hood? What are you going
to
do?
No, I'm all right. I'm all right where I'm at.
You like where you're at?
Yeah, I'm going to stay there for a few months.
You thought about moving to Nashville, too, huh?
I thought about a lot of fucking things, bro.
Talk to Honey Honey, you'll move there. They love it there.
Oh, I know. A lot of people love it there.
Except everyone's armed. They say that's a problem. Like, everybody knows somebody that's been shot. Well, she shot him, and then he shot her back, and
everybody's fucking on. But you know what? I don't run in those circles.
Have you ever seen the Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia?
I heard about it.
I'm getting you that for Christmas. Yes. I'm going to get you that for Christmas.
I don't run in those circles, so I'm not worried. You know, weapons, when I did carry a weapon when I was 27, I thought I was a coke dealer, and I carried the Miami Vice with the upside-down piece with the two clips with 16 and the 14 and one.
How old were you?
I was probably 27 when I thought I was Don Johnson.
And you were just walking around with a gun for how long?
Just at night. At night, I get paranoid looking out windows, fucking. And then at night, when, like, if I had to go pick up $80 from you, I'd put the gun on. Like, whoa.
Really?
You know, and just not that I wouldn't show it to you, but I'd have it on me just in case. And it was just weird that things would happen around me when I had that gun. And then one day I stopped wearing the gun and those things disappeared.
So I've heard people say that before.
Yeah, they're a magnet, brother.
You really
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Whether
do you think it's
weapon,
the mindset that you have while you're carrying it that makes you a magnet for problems?
You know what? When I carried a gun was the only time somebody opened their jacket to me one time and let me know they had a gun or somebody they were with. You know, one time it happened in El Paso, but that shit's going to happen in El Paso when you're buying blow at 4 in the morning with somebody's wife, you know.
I would imagine that'd be a shady deal.
Yeah, so just like knives, I've seen people get stabbed and I got into fights when I have a knife on me. What the fuck am I going to carry a knife on me fucking for? For what? You know when you carry a knife, you know who gets cut when you carry a knife? You do, you dumb motherfucker. That's who gets caught when you stab somebody and shit you're not used to. Even when you train with fucking knives, you'll cut your hands.
Yeah.
If they don't have the guards at the end because the shit slips off. That's the first thing that, it's just, if you don't know how to use a knife, you should not fuck with one. You're only going to hurt your fucking hands. You really are.
Yeah,
you're
how
really
many people
trained.
Really know how to use a knife?
Not many. They think they watch rare. Fucking Boys in the Hood, and all of a sudden they fucking go out and buy a switchblade. You have no idea, my friend. You have no idea when your knife hits a bone and it twists and it pops out.
Yeah.
I've seen people with knives get the shit knocked out of them for pulling out a fucking knife or something. One time at Port Authority in New York, I seen something go down. I call, you know when you catch a tail end of something?
Uh-huh.
And that's what had happened. This guy pulled out a knife, went to stab a dude with a leather jacket on. You're in no danger, stupid. You're in no danger. Like, he hit him in the elbow, the guy caught it, and this guy just knocked the fuck out of him, broke his fucking lip. It was beautiful.
So you're saying if you live in a dangerous area, get some chain mail.
Get
yourself a nice coat of armor.
Get a nice leather jacket, but who's going to wear that when it's 150 fucking degrees in Atlanta? How are you going to do that in Atlanta, New York, Miami? Listen, stay the fuck in. Mind your goddamn business. Even when you carried nunchucks as a kid, you met other motherfuckers with nunchucks.
I never carried nunchucks as a kid.
You passed that. That was a great time.
I had a knife for a while. Yeah. I had one of those 007 knives.
When nunchucks hit, everybody you looked at, instead of having tattoos, they had bruises. When everybody carried nunchucks, everybody had bruises in the back of their elbows.
People really carried nunchucks around?
Oh, my God. In the fucking mid-70s, when Bruce Lee came out like this, and fisted, I think he took the Chinese Connection, when he took those nunchucks, it was done. Then there was another movie that came out called Corrado the Hong Kong Cat that is not documented that I've been hunting for fucking years because his nunchucks had copper on the corners. So this motherfucker took... Bruce Lee took two brooms, you took a hole, you drilled it, and you put eye hooks, and you took two chains. Those were nunchucks. Not Hong Kong Cat. He took it to a different motherfucking level. He took two nunchucks like this, drilled them, But instead of putting just a thing in, he put metal caps with an eye, and then he put an eye hook into that. Not to mention, the bottom, he'd go to the hardware store, to the plumbing supply, and put caps on the bottom. Copper caps, and crazy glue them on there. So when you got hit in the head, when you got hit in the head with copper instead of fucking wood, that's what Hong Kong did. He had a whole different dimension to the nunchuck world over there.
Nunchucks made me realize about the differences in woods. That's how I found out about different kinds of woods from nunchucks. Because you would go to like to buy them on those catalogs. They would have like Cocobolo. You wanted Cocobolo woodchucks, a very dark, dense wood, very heavy. You're like, oh, those would make some badass nunchucks. That's how I found out about like Cocobolo and oak, like what the harder woods were. It was like what they were making nunchucks out of.
What was the harder one? Cocobolo.
Cocobolo is pretty hard.
Those are the hard ones.
Yeah,
ebony. Oak were hard, but
if you could get real ebony, that's really hard too. That's really hard, really heavy. There's some dense, the dark woods mostly are usually the harder woods. Like ebony is an extremely heavy, dense wood. That's why they use it a lot. Like a lot of people like it for pool cues. You know, they make them out of ebony because it's so dense and heavy. It's just tough to get an ebony pool cue that's like a lightweight one.
You know what's crazy, though? I seen growing up, I seen 1,000 white kids with nunchucks. Black people love nunchucks. Black people.
There's some Bruce Lee,
there
man.
You go, right, look right there. But way before this,
yeah.
The Chinese Connection was where he took them to. But look at this. By this time here, put motherfuckers, once he took it from the bottom.
Put the sound so you can hear it. Because it sounds crazy. Doesn't have sound. The video doesn't have sound.
Right there. That was July of 73. This fucking country lost their minds.
Oh, they lost their mind.
They lost their black people at the movie theater. Lost their fucking mind.
I was living in an apartment, and the superintendent.
Go the other way for Chinese Connection, nunchuck right there. Is that it?
I was living in this apartment, and the superintendent that whatever it was. Yeah, I guess it was a superintendent, the guy who takes care of the building. His family, he had a son that was like my age, and that's how I found out about Bruce Lee. They're like, you don't know about Bruce Lee? I was like, what's Bruce Lee? And I went over to their house. And they were showing me these Bruce Lee posters. Like, whoa. He had like a poster, like Enter the Dragon, you know, with the fucking cuts on him with the blood. I was what is this? And then I think they took me to see a movie. You know, you didn't have VCRs back then, so you had to actually go to the movies. I'm pretty sure they took me to see the first Bruce Lee movie I ever saw. And I was like, whoa.
This is Chinese Connection. This is like a really good together reel. I remember being in the fourth grade at Sacred Heart School for Boys watching Happy Days on a Tuesday fucking night, and all of a sudden right there seeing the trailer for the Chinese Connection and Joe Rogan losing my fucking mind. That was a badass. That was his best movie.
Yeah, there was no character like
this. Look at who's that guy? What's his name, Joe Rogan?
Sammo Hung.
Sammo Hung. Look at this shit. This is what he introduced.
I think that's Sammo Hung.
Yeah, that's Sammo Hung.
Yeah.
Look at Chuck
There's
Norris.
Chuck Norris and him duking it out. That's Chuck Norris, a lot of people don't know. You see him when he's like 60 years old in Walker, Texas Ranger, and you don't know the history. Chuck Norris was like a real kickboxing champion, like one of the first. A karate tournament champion.
Right
and
there.
A
when I first
champion.
Saw that scene,
yeah.
That destroyed America. That was it. That after that, America never recovered from that. People were eating Chinese food. Kids were going to Chinatown. You know, it completely opened up a new door, bro. Instead of going to the fucking roller skating on Saturdays, we were going to Chinatown to
well, you
eat
remember
their
when,
food.
Remember when people started wearing Chinese slippers?
I wore them. My mother thought I was crazy. I used to wear sandals and fucking incense in the house.
Well,
right
dude,
there. That's
yeah.
That's just amazing. The Chinese Connection is just a tremendous fucking movie if you've never seen it. He's raw. And you know who he's on the phone with the whole time, Joe Rogan? And after this, we got to go.
Because
you can't top this. When he shot the Chinese Connection the whole time, he's on the phone with Steve motherfucking McQueen. The whole time, he's like, what do I do? I'm just a Chinese. What the fuck do I do? That's what gave me the idea to hang motherfuckers. In the Chinese Connection, he killed the motherfuckers and he hung them.
Didn't he, like, take lessons, Steve McQueen?
Yeah.
Lessons
and,
from Bruce Lee?
And James Coburn.
James Coburn,
and, oh, please.
Didn't you do a movie with James Coburn? You did something with James Coburn? What did you do with him?
Oh, I did.
Yeah,
I did
yeah.
a couple
What'd you
things
do with him.
I did Arliss, and I did
Arliss,
an episode of Arliss, and I did American Gun with him.
What's American Gun?
American Gun is a movie with about a kid who, he's a father. His daughter gets shot by a gun, and he does the background of the gun.
When's the next UFC you're coming to, man? Come to one of these.
Well, I can't go December 29th, and then maybe one of the ones in January.
Can you go to
Trust
February?
Me, I miss them too, dog.
Can you go to February 4th?
No, no, you can't go. I don't think so. I gotta look. I gotta
Aldo
look.
Versus Frankie Edgar.
Please don't fucking remind me.
And please. Alistair Overeem versus Bigfoot Silva.
Please don't remind me. Don't break
shit,
my heart,
son. Las Vegas. Joey, go to that one because that's also the one we have the gig on Friday night.
Gig on Friday. And Mandalay Bay. I know that this guy thinks booked me in.
That one's good, Gitas.
I just want to go to the fucking UFC, dog.
Well, come on, man. Let's do it. UFC, are you booked?
And I think I'm booked for the Irvine one.
But are you booked for that February weekend? That
first weekend? I got to look. It's either the week of February or the week before that I'm booked.
All you motherfuckers have careers now. This is very disappointing.
We have no fucking careers, dog.
Ari Shaffir is booked every goddamn weekend. No, he was supposed to come with me to Ohio. Remember that, Brian? Yeah. We advertised him.
Right. Oh, sorry. I got booked somewhere.
Oh, he's booked?
I got booked at Governor's.
Yeah, he's just taking bookings over this, the motherfucker. He's going money.
No, he's taking money. No, no, no.
Yeah, he needs to call his agent up and tell him he's already booked. We told the people on the internet, Ari Shaffir, you'd be coming to Columbus, Ohio.
We need to fucking go to the UFC.
Yeah, I'm
going
to go to Governor's and Long Island, whatever. Mumble, mumble, mumble. Find the weed, mumble, mumble, mumble.
Powerful Ari Shaffir just released his set. He's going to release his second recording, whatever it is, DVD, CD. Oh, that was my old house, man. Remember that, Joey Diaz?
Yeah.
That was the early weed smoking days. That was like the first year of me smoking weed. That was my full gaming rig setup. See all that shit in the background?
Yeah.
I built that computer behind Joey's head. I put that motherfucker together myself.
Did you?
Yep. I built that thing from scratch. Motherboard, add hard drives, whole deal. That's how I used to do that shit back then. I used to make my own gaming computers. Because if you made them, you could, like, you know, you understood, like, very hard. It's really pretty easy. You follow instructions. You know, all you have to do is just put the stuff in the right place and set the jumpers. Remember that, Brian? Remember setting jumpers?
Yeah. That was the most annoying shit ever.
Yeah. We used to have tweezers, and you used to have them pull these little plastic things out and stick them in the right slots. They had to be in the right slots for various reasons, right?
Yeah. Because it was like, if you want, certain things had to be on different frequencies, and they, you know.
And then you had to flash your BIOS. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck, Joe Diaz? You never did nothing like that, huh?
No, I know nothing about that shit.
He just got a website from GoDaddy.
I have a hard time changing a fucking flat tire.
When are you doing the Church of What's Happening Now on Ustream at all?
No, I'm still on with the other guys.
Stick cam? What do you want? Stick cam?
Stick cam. Yeah, when? And when? But I'm going to start doing the show live with them on Wednesdays from the Nerdist Studios.
Oh, beautiful. So Wednesdays. So at the comic book store, right?
Wednesday day. No, in the morning at 6 a.m.
But they have a comic book store. Isn't that where they have it set up?
I hear the fucking stand-up is off the chain. Why don't you get a fucking night there, Red Band?
At the
Nerdist Studios. I heard the fucking one night there.
Where?
At the Nerdist place? Really?
There's fucking 200 people watching comics. They tell me you can't even get parking spots down there. Because of the Nerdist studio.
Well, you know, this,
it's at the comic book store, Meltdown, right? Oh, yeah. I used to go there before Nerdist was there. It's
really
small, though.
Cool. Yeah, it's
200
small,
people?
But they have a back room.
Oh, right.
Let's do a show next week after the end of the world at the Ice House.
Ice House. Let's do something for the end of the year.
Next Wednesday? We good?
Instead of calling New Year's.
Is that Christmas or something?
Next Wednesday? Is it Christmas?
No, it's the 26th.
Next Wednesday?
I'll be out of town 26th.
What is next Wednesday? Is it the 26th?
Yeah.
I have a show in Brea with Doug Benson, I believe.
Yeah, it is the 26th. Okay. Yeah, we can't do a show the day after Christmas.
No, we could do that Friday, though.
That Friday.
Nope. I'm gone.
Where are you?
I'm in Vegas.
Vegas.
Because I'm on Vegas.
Is this casino like a...
What about Thursday?
Thursday?
What do you got Thursday?
I don't know.
Let's do a powerful desk watch show Thursday night. Well, either way, we'll figure it out. We'll do one Wednesday or Thursday.
We love you, motherfuckers. Merry Christmas. I love you guys. Thank you for the great year. Thank you for all the love, you fucking savages.
We love the fuck out of all of you. You have an Irvine show that night? Thursday
the 26th, I'm with Doug Benson and Irvine Improv.
And the 27th, which is Thursday, what do you got?
Nothing.
Nothing. Oh, so Thursday's good for you. Yeah. Thursday's good for you?
Thursday or Friday? I already have Friday.
Thursday. I got Friday. Right. Friday's Vegas.
Right.
Vegas.
So are you doing a show that Friday in Vegas?
Not that weekend, man. Waiting until February. February rolls around. Got a lot of things happening, man. First week of February, if there is a world left, we'll be. We're going to do the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. We'll do it in the big room when they do the weigh-ins.
Shit.
So it's like 3,000 people. Come on, man. I need me some Joey Diaz in that show. You doing it? You committed? Motherfucker, commit. Who could possibly tell you to do something other than what you want to do? Would you have a calendar on your phone?
I do have a count.
Make some shit happen.
I never fill it in.
Let me match numbers at least. Jesus Christ.
I'll be at the San Manuel Casino tomorrow.
Oh, come on, man. That's where that's a black show.
Is that... Have you...
Keep it together.
That? Where's San Manuel?
Keep it together.
It's fucking far, dog.
Where's like, San Manuel?
You got to leave like a 4 in the afternoon.
Is that like West Palms? Or
no, you got to go early, like 3 and shit. That's like 7 hours.
No way.
It's where the drug mules stop to drop off their stool. They got the whole fucking there's a special meeting room in the bathroom at that casino.
Talk like that's where they,
come
like
on, man, listen.
San Manuel.
Been out here in Nashville for a while, and a lot of pretty girls. Love y'all. Ed Parker. Ed Parker talking to me some karate.
I'm right, look at this.
Always been a big believer in the arts.
Oh, this doesn't look that bad.
But I don't know.
No, no, it don't look like that.
Oh, that looks pretty nice.
You know, what's important is that they show this old Indian dude.
Right, I feel protected.
Why don't you guys show me some hot bitches that are also going to this casino?
Yeah.
Why are you showing me an old Indian?
Yeah, there has to be a hot bitch right here, right? Yeah.
You don't have to show me a dream catcher. This ain't a fucking Stephen King book, okay? Show me some hot bitches. I get it. It's an Indian casino. I get it.
Hot bitches.
You're not advertising the correct way. Old Indians rarely get people to go visit them.
A hot bitch.
Okay. What do you got? That girl in the corner? She's in a corner.
You're fucking hysterical.
You barely find her. Cold hard cash.
Oh,
yeah, those those places are interesting. We used to go to that's a pretty girl. We used to go to a lot of those Indian casinos back in the day when mixed martial arts was illegal in California. Eddie Bravo and I used to drive out to see the King of the Cages and shit. We used to go out. They were always in these.
Oh, they have it. Look, that's funny. Right when you said it, pulled up King of the Cage.
Perfect.
Look at that guy.
Yeah. Well, he's King of the Cage is a good. I think that's Tony Lopez. King of the Cage is a good.
What's the date?
January 3rd. No, that's not. Go back to King of the Cage.
It was December 19th.
December 20th.
Wait. Is that tomorrow?
What is that? Did that just...
I'm going to be there the same time as King of Cage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're fucked, dude. It's Thursday.
Oh, no.
No, that's Thursday.
No, Wednesday.
December 20th.
It said Wednesday.
No.
December 19th.
December
20th? December 19th. Wednesday.
Oh, no, that's a weigh-in.
Oh, it's weigh-in. Oh, okay.
Oh, you lucked out there.
Oh, man. Well, if you're going to King of Cage, you want to see the comedy stylings of
me
in the black room.
Today's the 18th.
Right.
So the weigh-in is Wednesday.
The fight is Thursday.
So when are you going to be there? Are you going to be there Wednesday? So you're going to be there when they're grumpy.
Yeah.
You're going to be there when they're cutting weight and all their teams are getting amped up and staring each other down. You going down, bitch? Going down, bitch?
Yeah. Mike Epps is going to be there.
A lot of good fighters there, though. Mike Epps is there January 17th. He can't help you.
He can help me 2 days.
No, it's like that fucking Lil Wayne video. He, you know, he can't save you.
Funk Fest.
You know, he can't save you.
Climax. You know,
he can't
save you. Oh, look, the Ohio players.
In the real world, he can't save you.
SOS Band, Bad's Band, Climax. Oh, that's a good fight.
Brian, I wish you luck in your your quest to make black people laugh. I suggest you not do any of your racist jokes.
No, I will not do. I only have one black joke.
It's barely racist.
I'm
on your side, but yeah. I suggest you dance around that.
Yeah.
And start strong. You got to start strong. No slurring.
No slurring.
No smoking weed before that.
No Provigil.
Maybe a little bit of that Provigil. You need to get yourself a doctor.
I know.
Powerful Joe Diaz. Thank you very much for joining us, man. As
love
always,
you, brother.
I love,
the
fucking shit out of you.
Fuck.
You're the best.
You know we do it right.
And we're going to have a good goddamn time
Friday
this
night.
Friday at the End of the World show. Thank you to Audible.com. Go to audible.com/Joe. Get yourself 30 days free and one free audio book. It's in an amazing service. I almost said surface. Then I realized what I was saying as I was saying it. It's an amazing service. I use it. I've used it for a while. And the book I'm reading from it right now is called Sex at Dawn by Christopher Ryan, who will be on the podcast soon. We're going back and forth about this right now. But I got a lot of people booked already, bitches. Shit is blowing up. I'm hooking you up with some fresh guests.
Yeah, I talked to Tom Green. He wants to come back on.
Powerful Tom Green. I want Tom Green on. I was really impressed with Tom Green's special. I watched 4 comedy specials in a row, which I don't usually do. And Tom Green was the one that made me laugh. And I thought that was really awesome because, you know, Tom Green's only been doing stand-up for like 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
He hasn't really been doing it that
said,
long.
We had him on that podcast last night, and he was saying that he sold his whole entire studio. He had a TV studio in his
mm-hmm.
house.
Yeah.
He sold the whole thing and just got rid of all his stuff. So that's not there in his house anymore. And he's now just thinking about coming back and doing a podcast now again. He's just been focused on comedy.
Yeah, well, you can tell. You can tell. If you see his last special, it was really good. I think he did it from Australia. I want to say he did it from Australia. I might not be right about that, though. But
whatever it was really good. I mean, Tom's, and he's a great guy. I would love to have him on. And so that's it. Doug Stanhope will be joining us, you dirty bitches, on Saturday. That's depending on whether or not Saturday actually exists. Dun, dun, dun. But we got a lot of cool guests coming up, including Steve Volk, the author of Fringeology. Steve Rinella is going to be on in January. We're going to get to talk about my hunting trip with him. Successful. That's right. Brody, enjoy it. Successful hunter. Got meat. Positive energy. Go see Brody Stevens anytime you can. And when you see him, give him a fucking hug for all of us because we love the shit out of him. We got to get Brian Holtzman on this podcast too. Can you make contact with him, Brian?
I haven't seen him in a while.
We're going to find him, folks. We're going to bring him to you. All right. Follow Mad Flavor on Twitter. That is Joey Diaz's handle. I know it's not Joey Diaz. I know it's confusing. But if you put in Joey Diaz in the search engine, Mad Flavor is the first one that shows up. You can do it, you fucks. Keep it together. Thank you to onnit.com. Use the code name Rogan. That's O-N-N-I-T.com. Use the code name Rogan and save yourself
10%. Have you seen this show yet? The Tim Ferriss' new show?
Tim Ferriss was on Meat Eater as well.
Yeah, look. He's a Meat Eater. And look, he's on there wearing a Death Squad shirt.
Oh, that's awesome. He went on the Meat Eater wearing a Death Squad shirt. That is the shit. What a cool guy Tim Ferriss is. I love that guy.
Check out the Sportsman channel.
Him, if I could get him, Cara Maria, and Dave Asprey in the room all at one time, I really think that I could be smarter. I will rise. And Dennis McKenna, all of them together, talking together, I will absorb their energy and become smarter. Tim Ferriss is cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
Yeah, and we'll have him on again, fucking for sure, without a doubt. All right, folks, this is the last episode in the 300-episode series.
Woo. Yep. They play along, yeah.
Yeah. 300th episode.
That's all we want.
Syndication.
Yeah, we hit syndication. We're you know, listen.
We're too busy for this.
We didn't start this thing off thinking it would ever become what it is now. We you know, we just started off for a goof, and 3 years later, here we are. And we've had a great fucking time. We appreciate all you people that say nice things about it, that enjoy it, and say that it enhances your life, and it enhances ours, too. We would never get to have, even though we have cool friends like Joey Diaz, and, you know, Doug Stanhope and all these people, it's really hard to get all these people to sit down and talk with you for 3 hours at a time like this unless you're broadcasting it. You know, just the fact that it's going out to all you actually benefits us just as much as it benefits you. So we're all in this together, you fucks. All right? Keep it together, and we'll see you on Saturday, or we'll see you Friday at the End of the World show.
We'll see you Thursday.
Oh, we'll see you Thursday at the Improv. Or we might see you tonight. I don't know what the fuck you're doing. I might run into you out there. Out in the wild.
For reasons I can't fully explain myself.
This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. Look, it's important to take care of yourself, and it's equally important that you use the right products, like Dr. Squatch. They have high-performing natural soaps and more with no harmful ingredients, so you can look and smell your best. Try their Pine Tar Bar Soap and Lotion, Bay Rum Deodorant, or Woodland Pine Cologne. Most of their scents are available across multiple products, so if you really like it, you can get a whole lineup. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/JRE or use the code JRE at checkout.